Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
It is Wednesday, April 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, for the first time, a Princeton, New Jersey company is offering military-grade technology to first responders that they hope will save lives during this pandemic. They are called the X2MR glasses. Third Eye Gen says the glasses have a thermal sensor that allows a paramedic to take a patient's temperature without having to touch them.
Wow, that's awesome.
They say they send real-time audio and video back to the hospital, so that could mean that a doctor 100 miles away or wherever the doctor might be could see exactly what the medic is dealing with from the camera's point of view from the glasses. The glasses can show multiple screens with face recognition technology that can link to a patient's medical history within seconds. Under a pilot program spearheaded by former Congressman Kurt Weldon, a former fire chief, Marcus Hook Trainer, and Upper Marion Fire Departments will be the first in the country to have access to these glasses.
So for a while, Kathy, they had the initial thing, which was the Google Glass. You remember those glasses
they're
marketing? And then on the other side, Microsoft was doing some stuff, some technology that actually started to incorporate its way into surgery theaters and stuff like that. So this is a very positive progression for that. It's going to mean a lot to these people who are right on the front lines.
Yeah, so 8 pairs of the 1,800 glasses are being paid for by Energy Transfer and Sunoco. Weldon says his goal is to push the government and corporate sponsors to provide one of these sets of glasses for every fire and rescue unit in America. Officials in Philadelphia said Tuesday numbers show a stabilizing in daily case count of the coronavirus, and city leaders say there's evidence that the stay-at-home order is having a measurable impact. It's cautious optimism, however, as officials say that stay-at-home order needs to remain in place. The city reported 7,130 cases with 206 deaths on Tuesday. Officials said 103 or 50% of the deaths are nursing home residents. Health Commissioner Thomas Farley said the numbers for Tuesday could be low due to some labs not updating their counts. Farley also said that while there may be stabilizing in terms of case count, officials are seeing an increase in the number of people who are being treated at area hospitals for coronavirus. The virus is still circulating in the city, Farley said, so stay home. On Tuesday, Mayor Jim Kenney said an inmate in the city's jail system died from the coronavirus. Commissioner Blanche Carney said 120 inmates have been tested for COVID-19. 3 inmates are currently hospitalized. On Monday, Mayor Kenney said that he's now facing a redoing of the city budget and is asking for support from the federal government to, among other priorities, replace lost revenue. Kenney is also asking for more rapid testing, personal protective equipment, and support for housing, small businesses, and Medicaid. He said the city is still at risk for a surge. Right now, Kenny said health is a priority. The Philadelphia International Airport will receive $161 million in emergency funds, officials said Tuesday. The funds are part of the nation's CARES Act that is committing $10 billion to airports across the country. However, for the city, this does not apply to the general operating budget. Shuttered because of the coronavirus, several Center City stores have now become the targets of criminals. Last week, the glass storefront at Mitchell & Ness Sporting Goods store was shattered and high-end athletic wear was stolen. Just a block away, the DTLR sneakers store at Broad and Chestnut was hit in the middle of the night, and then a state store was also the target of a break-in. The quiet streets of quarantine apparently is making Center City ripe for burglars. According to police records, since the city has been shut down, commercial burglaries skyrocketed 71% in the past month and up to 20% from the beginning of the year. So many shops are actually choosing to board up their businesses.
Yeah,
so if you see them boarded up, this is the reason why. All right, let's do sports this morning. Employees of Major League Baseball teams, including the Phillies, are participating in a massive study that will test up to 10,000 people for coronavirus antibodies and should offer researchers a better sense of how widespread the disease is in major metropolitan areas across the U.S. The study, which is being run by Stanford University, USC, and the Sports Medicine Research and Testing Laboratory, will use test kits that draw blood and can offer results within 10 minutes. A positive test would confirm a person did contact coronavirus, even if he or she is asymptomatic. The goal goal of the study is to get a better sense of the virus's true infection rate by utilizing a nationwide sample. MLB is able to coordinate logistics and ensure participation from a wide range of people, including players, front office staff, concession workers, and others, making the league the right choice for the study, according to the doctors and researchers running it. The Tour de France, the world's most famous cycling race, has been added to the list of sporting events called off. It might still take place this year. It might still take place this year, but the three-week race won't start as scheduled on June 27th in the Riviera city of Nice. French President Emmanuel Macron announced that all public events with large crowds have been canceled until at least mid-July. The last time the Tour was not held was in 1946 after the end of World War II. It was also stopped during World War I. And in a bit of potential good news, PGA Tour officials are expected to announce their intention to resume the tour season in the middle of June at the Charles Schwab Challenge. It's also expected that fans will not be allowed to attend the first tournament at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. As the tour looks to follow health and safety guidelines set by government and health officials, other early tournaments are also expected to be played without spectators. The RBC Canadian Open, which has been scheduled for June 11th to the 14th, will not be played, freeing up those dates for this possible event in Texas. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate that. Hi, guys.
Hey.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I just felt like doing something different because I always come out with, all right, thank you very much, Kenny. I'm like when Bill Weston comes into the studio.
Yeah.
President, everyone.
How y'all doing?
Making my presence be known.
The best thing I ever heard is in the hallway where Bill came down and goes, Dave, and he goes, and then he paused for a second and goes, I really do talk
about it. Yeah. Marissa?
That actually starts all the way down the hallway.
Are you serious?
So if, like, Pierre Pancakes in the studio, it starts down there, and then it goes into the jock lounge. If Connor's at the computer, come to me. Yep. Then it goes in and goes to you guys. Mm-hmm.
It's loud. It's time to begin. He lets you know. But that's the Bill way. I love it. All right, so I decided to change it up a little bit, but we do welcome you to Wednesday midweek. We do have some things planned, some of our standard Wednesday procedure. Fox Good Day, we go on TV. That's always a lot of fun, so we'll see what those guys have going on. And also, we have a secret text word, and we got some vodka to give away. It is three bottles of vodka from Stateside, our friends who have set us up with lots of liquor lately.
I think we can safely call them heroes of the pandemic.
I would have to say so.
We're allowing a lot of people to sleep through the pandemic.
They have cool bottles, too.
They do.
I just like not only the engraving that they'll do for you if you want it, but it's just a cool-looking bottle. The vodka tastes great, so we're happy to give that away today. Text the word SECRET to 39333, and we'll have your chance to win three bottles. Hopefully those are big bottles that, that they have. I wouldn't doubt it. We'll grab a random text or on top of the one that we, you know, send out the text, the secret text word back to you, ask you to call them later. But we'll also grab one randomly. So why not? Go ahead. Give it a shot. Text SECRET to 39333. Now, while we're on the subject of winning, we have two opportunities for you to win $500 this morning. And it's MMR's Rock Refund. And that is just as simple as the secret text word. Only you text us a word. It's kind of that way.
It's easy.
So we will get to that at 8 o'clock, and we'll get to that at 10 o'clock. So two opportunities for you to win $500. Pretty sweet deal. We had a couple of winners yesterday and the day before. Let's do it again. We have a couple of guests on the show as well. We're excited about both of these guys. Dennis Quaid is getting in touch with us today.
Yeah, we just talked to him a while ago. Yeah. I forget what movie he was promoting, but now it's a podcast, right?
Was it the dog movie where the dog
Purpose?
The second one? Because remember they did a sequel to that or something?
Possibly.
But anyway, he's talking about this podcast that he's doing. So we'll gladly talk to Dennis Quaid around 9 o'clock. And a great comedian, Bill Engvall, who is going to be on Last Man Standing. Is going to talk about that when he calls in and everything else, and we'll chat with him. We'll just dive into it at 9:30 when he's going to get in touch with us. So it's going to be a good day. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Make sure that you hang with us. Text that word, SECRET, over to us at 39333. I got a lot of entertainment stories that I'm dying to pass along to you, as well as a stupid question with some more giveaways. And we hope that you choose to stay with us as your accompaniment this morning. We will be right back. I said that for Jackie.
Yes. Anyway,
accompaniment.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, to give away, we have a digital download of Just Mercy starring Michael B. Jordan, and it is in conjunction with the stupid question. The question I have for you this morning: what 1991 R.E.M. single emerged from guitarist Peter Buck learning to play the mandolin?
Oh.
215-263 WMMR. What 1991 R.E.M. single emerged from guitarist Peter Buck learning to play the mandolin? Let's see if you know the answer. Call right now. I'll go through some birthdays. Today is Wednesday, April 15th. I'll start with a musician, and some may know and some may not know his name. His name is Dave Edmonds.
Yes.
And in fact,
talented.
Pierre on Friday plays that. He plays that the song, and that's the Friday song that he
does. Weekend song.
Yeah, that's the one, and that's Dave Edmonds.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty certain that
is. Yeah, it is. Yep, you're right.
I love that song, and he had a kind of a semi-hit called Slipping Away back in the day, and I think he was. I think he might have written Cruel to Be Kind with Nick Lowe.
Oh, not 100%. Did he write it with Nick Lowe? Oh.
He's one of those guys that's...
He's like a utility player.
Yeah, somewhat behind the scenes. Yeah. And here comes the weekend, this song, yeah. So this is Dave Edmonds. I love this song. It's one of my favorite things to hear. Because I catch it on my way home Friday.
And it means it is the weekend.
Totally. Yeah. And I love it when Pierre plays it, so... Here comes the weekend. So Dave Edmonds is 76 today. Actor Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Yes. Been come to known as. That's who I was asking the question.
Some of the, just improv that you have been known, been come to known as. So I feel, listen, the pain is palpable because we've all been there. And when I hear that, I hear me mid-interview with Tom Berenger, completely forgetting who I was talking to.
I knew who I was talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't know what I was saying.
Yeah, what you were saying.
I tell you what, one of my favorite things that you guys ever did was for my 50th birthday, and you had a lot of local celebrities start to try to say that phrase to me, and it was like Cecily Tynan and our friends at Fox 49.
Do we have audio of that?
Case, you have any idea what that would be stored under?
Well, we did play audio on the air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys did. It was great.
I have these birthday wishes.
But that was your birthday, or was it when we got that award? Right?
It was the Golden... Golden Corral Award.
Yeah, the Golden Corral Award for Best Buffet.
It was
the one where Jeru spoke when we were downtown. Yeah. And my dad got the good parking.
Yeah, the Philadelphia...
Free parking.
Promo... What was it, Kath?
PPRA, whatever that stands for.
The PPR. They were great. That was one of the coolest days. It was a little tribute to us as a show. And is there some of the, just improv that you have been known, as?
By the way, while you're looking for that, Casey, if you've not seen the movie The Interview, which is the one where they go, he and James Franco go to take out Kim Jong-un, he's really funny in it. And the movie's actually very funny. You remember there's that whole thing with the North Koreans hacking Sony and getting all those emails and so on and so forth, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
But the movie itself is actually pretty freaking funny.
Seth is 38 today.
It was Observe and Report that we were doing the interview, right?
Right, where he plays the mall security cop.
Even your version of that, Steve, is slightly edited. This is the original unedited version.
All right.
And Seth, an Observe and Report, is there some of the, just improv that you have been known, come to known as? Right? You guys get to work with that?
Oh, Jesus.
And I just, listen, man, we've been together for a long time. And I don't know if you seem more vulnerable after that question or if when I walked in on you wiping your ass in the bathroom, Preston, but you looked over at me like, dude, what the F did I just say? You were so mad at yourself.
What just came out of my mouth?
What
What does that mean? And the thing is, Rogan was so high, he responded.
Yeah,
he answered. Made perfect sense.
God, and then you sat on the audio for like 6 months, Casey.
For a long time.
The wound was fresh.
There's
no way he was going to throw that back at me right away.
Never.
We had to wait till it healed, and it was just a scar remaining.
Right.
I didn't know we waited.
Long time.
Yeah, like a year. Yeah. So anyhow, Seth
and
is.
And now look it up.
And here's the montage if you want.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
The question I have to ask is there?
That's DiBella, by the way.
Yeah.
He's the first one that leads.
The question I have to ask is there
some of the you know,
just
improv that you have
been come to known as? Is there some of the
you know, just
improv that you've been known
come to known as?
Been come to known as?
Been come to known as? Become to known as?
Been come to known as?
Oh, my God. I hear Matt O'Donnell in there, Rick Williams, and Jim Alex Daniels. Holly. Yeah. And, oh my.
Jim Jackson's in there, too.
Oh, dear God.
And, Bill Weston.
Yeah. Marilyn Russell. There's everybody.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Seth Rogen.
You should have just glossed over that one.
Emma Thompson, the actress.
She's great.
Yeah, she is great.
One of my favorite movies, it is a low-key movie, but Remains of the Day, her performance in Remains of the Day is one of the greatest performances I've ever seen in my life.
And Loki's in that?
Loki's in that.
Wow.
horns and everything?
It's amazing.
He was in a scene stealer?
I love your horns. She is 61 today. Another Emma Watson celebrates her birthday today. The Harry Potter movies.
And we've been talking about Emma Watson lately.
Yeah, you've been watching special movies with her, Preston, right?
She's 30 years old today. Linda Perry of Four Non-Blondes is 55 and was married to, what's her face?
Steve Perry.
No. From Roseanne.
Melissa Gilbert?
Darlene.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sarah Gilbert.
Yes. Sarah Gilbert. Melissa Gilbert was on Little House on the Prairie.
Gilbert Gottfried.
but they're no longer together from what I understand. Linda Perry is 55.
I was talking about her with Brent Porsche the other day because she is a very, very prolific songwriter. And so she's not necessarily... She writes it for other people now, so
Correct. There
are a ton of hits that she's written.
Yeah, and she writes like pop hits and stuff, which is kind of interesting.
She looks like an old leather couch that you've thrown out.
She looks like a bad Steve Perry.
She looks like a... Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Steven Tyler.
I got all my Steves and Perrys and Tylers mixed up. She's 55, Linda Perry. Maisie Williams, Arya Stark, is 23 years old from Game of Thrones.
Did a car commercial for it during the Super Bowl. Was it Audi?
Yeah, it was their electric car.
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm hoping that she continues to find success. I really like her. She seems like a cool person.
So the word is there's no sequel or no prequel? Or no, they're not moving forward with anything Game of Thrones-ish?
Nah, not that I've heard.
All right.
Yeah. Preston, she's in The New Mutants, which is that dark take on the X-Men, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Nick,
yeah. Branch of the X-Men, yeah.
Telling Preston that this movie, which has been actually completed for a couple of years, has gone through the ringer so many times that they're actually thinking of just releasing it directly to Disney+.
Yeah, because, see, they pushed it back again, but she plays a character that I don't know, but I'm sure you guys do, Wolfbane?
I do, yeah. Just like a werewolf.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I love it. Which is cool because the dire wolf was the sigil of House Stark. So she is 23. And last birthday is guitarist of Radiohead, Ed O'Brien.
He's in that Hot Pressure Washer video.
Yes, he and Tom York.
Yeah.
It's a duo.
Absolutely.
He celebrates his 52nd birthday.
I can't get my guitar cleaned. I think I have the solution.
He cleans his guitars with a power washer. Ed O'Brien is 52 years old today. All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to the stupid question. And it is about a song. What 1991 R.E.M. single emerged from guitarist Peter Buck learning to play the mandolin? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Our first caller in is Julie, so I will go to her. Hi there, Julie. Julie, can you hear me?
Julie,
can you hear me?
Julie, can you hear me?
Bet you her name is not Julie.
If you can hear my voice, speak up. Who is this?
hello?
Yeah, yes. You're on the air. What's your name?
Oh, hey, my name's Julie.
Ah.
Oh, hey, Julie.
Right. Julie, we've been calling your name for a while.
I'm sorry. I thought they said to lower the radio, so I did. And I'm like, why am I lowering it if I can't hear anything?
Oh, well, you can lower your radio, but you listen on your phone.
But her phone's going through.
I'm on my way. I'm driving to work.
I get what's happening.
Yeah, you only turn your radio down. All right, never mind. Okay. So what song are we talking about, Julie?
Losing My Religion.
Yes. That's right, yes. If your Bluetooth is going through your speakers in your car, you can leave that turned up.
Julie's my favorite person right now.
I know, I love Julie, too.
I can't hear them.
Julie, since you got it right, we're going to give you a digital download of Just Mercy, starring Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, and Brie Larson, and it is based on a powerful and inspiring true story that follows lawyer Brian Stevenson and his history-making battle for justice to defend an innocent man. Own the digital movie now and the Blu-ray, actually both of them right now, so there you go. By the way, speaking of this album, I remember seeing a documentary on R.E.M. and they said, you know, during the tour of this album, which was it Life's Rich Pageant? I don't remember which one they had this on there. But anyhow, they had gone to this acoustic, you know, feel.
Right.
And they said they couldn't wait for that to be over because they wanted to stand up again while they were playing.
Right, yes.
Because whenever bands would play acoustically, they don't sit down.
Yeah.
You know, and they got tired of that. So I get it. All right. So let's get into some of the entertainment stories. Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks have emerged as examples of what can and should happen when you get diagnosed with coronavirus. The pair immediately shared their status and followed doctor's instructions to a T, all while trying to keep their chins up and fans entertained through their ordeal on social media. 63-year-old Wilson spoke on CBS This Morning with Gayle King about their ordeal and revealed more details about their illness and recovery. As many recall, the pair were diagnosed in Australia, where Hanks was shooting a film.
And they don't know how they got it, right?
Yeah. After being quarantined in a hospital in Queensland, they returned to L.A. Wilson described her symptoms before the diagnosis. She said, I was very tired. I felt extremely achy, uncomfortable. I didn't want to be touched. And then the fever started. Chills like I've never had before. Looking back, I also realized that I was losing my sense of taste and smell, which I didn't realize at the time.
You said she didn't want to be touched. Kathy, that's you.
Wilson said that her fever got close to about 102 by day 9. Wilson said that Hanks had milder symptoms. She said he did not have as high a fever. He did not lose his taste or smell, but it still took us the same amount of time to get through it.
Preston, that's Tom for you. He's just a rock.
He is.
Rita fell apart, but Tom, he's a champ.
She said, we recently had been part of a study where we donated our blood, and we are waiting to hear back if our antibodies will be helpful in developing a vaccine, but also if we are able to donate plasma that can be used as a donation to other people that are suffering from the virus because we are immune. So,
did you say that once she recuperated, now sharp bones protrude from her hands when she gets angry?
Yeah. It's a lot like Wolverine.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
They say that loss of taste and smell, though, is like pretty significant. Like, it's not like, it's like nothing.
So
like
that can't taste anything.
You can't taste. And a friend of mine, I don't know if I told you guys this or not, but she stuck her nose in a container of bleach and couldn't smell it.
Wow.
That's pretty profound. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Speaking of Tom Hanks, The Wonders, That Thing You Do, will reunite on Friday for a community watch party of the film to benefit the Music Cares COVID-19 Relief Fund.
I love these things. A lot of people are doing the... Zack Snyder did one with Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and we just had The Desperate Housewives. We were talking about that yesterday.
It's very cool.
They did this type of thing. So the actors who portrayed the band... plan to take part in what they say is their first public reunion in 20 years.
You going
to
check it out?
I may have to because I love that movie.
It is a great movie. It's one of those movies that I think Preston doesn't, no pun intended, miss a beat.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, and you really start to fall in love with the characters and you kind of think that it feels real, you know, that this band would exist. And there were so many one-hit wonder bands back then. So... Tom Everett Scott, Jonathan Schaich, Ethan Embry, and Steve Zahn, who, by the way, Marissa has been courting with Ethan Embry via social media lately.
Ah.
Who she is a huge fan of from Empire Records. What were you guys chatting about yesterday?
Trying to get him to come on the show. Hopefully he can wake up early, or one of the guys can wake up early. I figured out it's kind of like having a crush on somebody in high school and realizing it's never going to work.
Right, right.
Like, go up to them to write you an article for the yearbook or something like that.
Well, he was in a ton of stuff. He was in Can't Hardly Wait as well.
Yeah.
I loved him that thing you do, especially in you don't realize it until you look at the, and I mentioned this before, the credits. His character's name in the movie is the bass player. They never give him a
name.
Funny.
Oh,
and at the end where they show what happened to all of them after later in life, they name check him as TB player.
The bass player.
It's great. Marissa?
And it was just fun because when I was going back and forth and I was like, hey, we're a rock station in Philly. We'd love to have you. He's like, yeah. I mean, the boys were from Pennsylvania, so it's like we have to do it. Like, remember the tiniest little detail like that.
They were from Erie, PA.
Didn't you point out that Tom Hanks, who is gay in the movie, it's not really promoted dramatically throughout the movie, but that Howie Long is in the car with him?
There's a director's cut scene. And that's where they clearly indicate that Mr. White is gay, because he and Howie Long pull up in a red Corvette and they see Tom Everett Scott, guy standing there. And Howie Long turns to him and goes, should we invite him to the party we're going to? And Tom Hanks goes, I don't think he'd have fun, or something like that.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty
Howie Long, he's a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy. The kind of guy who turns other guys gay, right?
All right, so Liv Tyler will also participate. And other surprise guests were promised in a tweet announcing the fundraiser. The actors will take questions on their social media accounts leading up to Friday's watch party.
They pulled a prank on Liv Tyler, though, Preston. They told her it's a Lord of the Rings viewing party.
Oh, so she'll have her ears on and everything. Yeah. It's unclear if Tom Hanks will take part in or not, but I gotta guess he will. What else is
this
he doing?
Is this in part because of the passing of Adam Schlesinger?
Part of it. So they are going to, they will also pay tribute to Adam Schlesinger. He was from Fountains of Wayne. He wrote that song, That Thing You Do, which, by the way, was nominated for an Academy Award and Golden Globe for Best Original Song. That's part of it, Nick. The online event is scheduled for 7 o'clock this Friday. I'm assuming that's Eastern Time. On the official Wonders YouTube channel, and funds raised through the watch party will aid musicians and touring professionals who are out of work because of the coronavirus. That's really cool.
One of my favorite scenes in the Wonders is when they hear the song played on the radio for the first time. It's so great.
It's the best, yeah. During the shutdown of the country, everyone seems to be indulging in a little more food and wine than usual, and sales of alcohol are up about 55%, which is leading to all manners of hijinks, and much of it is on social media. The latest evidence comes from an unlikely source, and that is Martha Stewart. She left some drunk comments on Instagram.
She's getting lit up.
And fans are loving her quarantine vibe. Yeah, so Kathy, here's what she wrote. She wrote, and I will read this verbatim.
Okay.
M as me, sure you feed and water them daily and keep the heat is as no BK in S as ND. When you can finally come back to NYC, who is going to care for them? Now, after she fired off that comment, she returned to admit saying, what a mess, I've been drinking.
Oh my God.
And as Oprah Winfrey's former personal chef Art Smith wrote on Twitter, love you, Martha, though these bat crap crazy times, we all need a drink. Our baby chicks make me feel like life does continue. Let's all have a virtual cocktail party and compare chicks.
Did you see what she did, though? She did. She posted the picture. They kind of blurred it out on Instagram, but she put her hands to the side of her vagina and did Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone.
No.
Stewart hit up Twitter the next day and fessed up. She said, confession, yes, I had two glasses of wine with my detainees, a very, very good wine. When I composed a voice-activated Instagram response to my friend Douglas Friedman, obviously I did not check it.
So. You don't spell check after doing the...
She was doing voice to text.
Voice to text.
I got something to tell the people.
Yeah. And she was a little lit.
Is there a wine that you've become to know next?
My friend does that. She'll send me voice to text, like if she's driving or whatever. She does it all the time, and she never reads it. And like half the time, I'm like, what the F are you talking about? What is this?
If you do it through the system, it'll read it back to you. If you do it like through Apple Play. My degree of accuracy is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think if you have to obviously not be drunk and enunciate, but and I include all punctuation.
Yeah, my wife and my buddy Jeff do it all the time, and I'm like, okay, let me try and figure out what they're saying here.
Jeff was in love with Howie Long.
Yes.
Every marriage takes adjustments, but Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's has required more than its share. The pair have not only relinquished their royal titles, but they've moved twice so far in a bid to find their happy place. And Jane Goodall, the British primatologist and friend of the pair, and friend of ours, Nell says that Harry, who is finding life a bit challenging since their move to Canada and now L.A., may have to give up his love of hunting for Megan.
Do you think that she's studying them now, hanging out in their bushes outside with binoculars?
Maybe. She said that he is a great lover of the natural world. I thought he was a great lover.
He's an extraordinary lover. So if he's on top of you in the missionary position, he will curl his index fingers around and say,
okay.
What?
Yes, we got it. So
it's that spot.
That spot, he hits the G and the H spot, okay. Which was recently discovered.
The H spot was recently discovered? Yeah. It comes after the G.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
It's deeper.
She said that he is a great lover of the natural world, but also loves hunting.
He loves killing it, too.
What is it from Wedding Crashers? Oh, so Mr. Environmentalist is also a hunter, I see.
Yeah.
Goodall said, but I think Harry will stop because Megan doesn't like hunting, so I suspect that is over for him.
Did he indulge in the occasional fox hunt, as many do in the royal family?
I don't know if he was into fox hunting.
I think they've actually stopped doing that.
I think they do them where they don't kill the fox anymore.
They just do poor people now.
Yeah, they just chase after them. Release the peasants.
Oh, look at them. Because of their poor medical care, they all have bowed legs.
Paul!
There they go.
Yes. Who does that?
Got one.
Yeah, right.
Paul!
What were you going to say, Steve?
Is that History of the World where they do that?
Yeah. Pull and they launch it. They launch the peasants up in the air.
Pull!
Meanwhile, more is emerging about what staffers at Buckingham Palace clash with Meghan over. According to The Telegraph's Camilla Tomini, who has covered the royals for a decade, they were less enamored of the very qualities that made her irresistible to the press. Her showbiz luster, self-confidence, and feminist habit of assertion.
Uh-huh. So what? I'd be curious to see how tense it got.
Yeah.
I mean, she seemed respectful of the Queen. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
I doubt it got as tense as they're playing it out. Hey, the search for the next American Idol will continue despite COVID-19 pandemic. Starting April 26th, the show will start airing remotely.
Rip off!
That's what we're doing. Isolation Idol.
Rip off!
That's what we're doing.
Just like ESPN ripping off our basketball tournament.
I'm telling you. So we get the ideas first.
And they just steal them.
And they just take them.
I mean, we steal all the ideas, too.
So Katy Perry, Luke Bryan, and Lionel Richie, and Ryan Seacrest, along with mentor Bobby Bones.
You stole our idea that we stole from you.
Will be appearing from their homes, and the top 20 contestants performing remotely as well. There will be more details coming.
Okay, they have to be setting everybody up with, like...
Comrex units?
I was going to say, like, the best of all equipment.
You would imagine to make the quality good. Yeah. They're not going to be doing it on Skype.
And who are we having on next week, Case? Louis?
We're going to have Louis on next week. And he is, he's from England, but he's been living here in this area for 11 years.
Ballykinwood, right? Yeah. They call Ballykinwood Little London.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
So he went to Lower Marion High School. And
that's awesome.
I think he's really, really good.
Would you say he's dreamy?
We have a picture of him in the studio. He's, a handsome man. But, Steve, when I first saw him, I thought, wow, you are
hot.
You are a star.
Really?
You are going to change the world.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's what they were saying.
Okay, well, that's Lionel Richie says that for everyone.
All right, so look for that April 26th. And we are doing Isolation Idol. And we're taking your submissions, by the way. So if you've got musical talent... and you want to showcase it, send us your audio. By the way, when we start having our people that we've chosen to be in the contest next week, that will be live on the air. And it'll only be like 30 seconds. We get a taste of your musical capability. So keep that in mind. Next week when you perform live, it's going to be, we need the best of the best, 30 seconds of it. But for now, just send us an audition video. You can do it through PrestonandSteve.com. Must be 18 or older, one entry per person. And we'll see if you end up, and there might be a $500 cash prize in it.
The deal is they have to sign to our record company, which is Presco Records.
So keep that in mind. Yeah. You got a record contract.
Steve, there was one storyline that it is so forced, it is so bad. Lionel,
he really put this kid in his place, Steve. He goes, I don't like you. And whoa. And if this kid didn't make it into the top 20 and on the last go around, he says, really come around on you.
Come around on you.
Yeah. And then the kid
I would smile if my face moved.
The kid walks away and he goes, we bonded. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You didn't.
I want to adopt you.
Yes.
All right, what else I have here for you? Let's do a celebrity roundup, okay?
Yes, please.
I've got several short stories about celebs here that I'll get to and what has been going on in their world with... There you go.
And by the way, meat, it's what's for supper.
That's right. The Helps, Jessica Chastain, is lending a helping hand to the healthcare workers. Keep this music running because it's ironic. That they are keeping New York City people safe. The 43-year-old donated Beyond Burgers to the staff. So instead of beef, she gave them Beyond Burgers to the staff.
Were they prepared or just like raw patties?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, you could probably eat them that way, right?
They're vegetable-based.
Lenox Hill Hospital this week, Page Six reports. Last week, she sent the staff snack boxes that included cupcakes, cookies, and caramel corn. From 10th and Pike Sweet Shop, as well as Kind Bars and Peanuts. So she's helping feed.
That's awesome. Who did you... You reported on another celebrity who sent a whole crap load of pizzas to some...
Yeah, there's been several. Yeah, I can't keep track of them.
I love seeing that. No, it's really nice.
There's another one. Jane Fonda is designing a special limited edition line of sweatsuits featuring a rainbow stripe with her name to raise money for climate change and service workers on the front line of the coronavirus pandemic. Drew Barrymore says that... here's what she's been up to. She's hanging on by a thread, parenting, working and homeschooling her kids, 7-year-old Olive and 5-year-old Frankie. She told the Today Show, it was like every church and state. It is the messiest plate I've ever held in my life to be the teacher, the parent, the disciplinarian, the caretaker.
Hmm.
I didn't think I needed to respect and appreciate teachers more than I did.
This is what happens when life gets real, Preston.
Yeah. Kate Middleton and Prince William, meanwhile, recently updated their website, writing that they will, quote, do all it can to support those on the front line responding to COVID-19 in the U.K., meaning their website. They'll do everything they can.
They also sent a metric ton of spotted dick to a local hospital.
Thank God for that. The pair have been doing in-person visits to call centers for emergency workers, and William has reportedly considered joining the ambulance corps again. And then finally, Ricky Gervais is all for the celebs who want to lend a helping hand, but he's over those who spend their time whining. Ellen DeGeneres has compared her mansion to jail, while Kelly Ripa, Sam Smith, and many others have broken down in tears. He told the Sun of healthcare workers, he said, these people are doing 14-hour shifts and not complaining, wearing masks and being left with sores after risking their own health and their family's health selflessly. But then I see someone complaining about being in a mansion with a swimming pool. And, you know, honestly, I just don't want to hear it, is what he had to say.
Did you see? I don't know if you saw, Preston, you may not have gotten the email because it's a little wonky, but I sent over an audio clip of Amy Schumer.
Well, I have a story about Amy
here. Okay, all right, yeah.
And we can tie it in with that.
Sure.
Amy, when she and her husband, Chris Fisher, welcomed their baby Gene last year. Is that what this is about? Or
no,
is it something
no.
Else?
Okay. But it pertains to the earlier stuff about doing good stuff for first line people.
They named him Gene Attell Fisher, which I assume is after David Tell.
Yeah, they're good friends.
Because I know they're really tight. But they decided to swap out his middle name. She reveals on her podcast, Three Girls, One Keith, she said, do you guys know that Gene, our baby's name, is officially changed? It is now Gene David Fisher. It was Gene Attell Fisher, and we realized that by accident, we named our son Genital. Gene Attell, Genital. So I guess they went with Dave to stick with Dave. Dave Attell.
That's the way to do it.
But they had to move it because it was Genital. They literally changed it.
Kudos to them for correcting a name mistake.
Yes.
Rather than having years of living with that nightmare.
All right, what's the clip we have of Amy?
So Amy Schumer's best friend is a nurse who works in a hospital in Queens. And so she sent 250 of the top masks to the nurses. So we have an audio clip of the nurses FaceTiming her back to thank her. That's the first clip.
Okay.
Can you hear me from here?
Yes.
Okay. We are extremely grateful, okay?
Thank you.
Everyone here
has
really, really been through a lot the last few weeks. And to know that there's people looking out for us, doing whatever they can, makes a big difference.
Okay,
coming to work. It helps with morale.
All right, so that's from them to her.
And she gets emotional, and she can't help but joke about her friend, who is her absolute best friend. And but, you know, she sees her on the front lines with this, and she's worried, so she starts crying, but then jokes. It's very funny.
Okay.
I'm so grateful to you guys. It was obviously nothing. And I'm so... I'm sorry you guys are going through this, and I'm so grateful. I'm so proud to know you, Jen. And I just want you all to know that Jen has been my best friend my whole life, and she's an amazing friend and an amazing mom. But you guys need to know that she was a total slut in high school.
Oh, that's great. That's something Kathy would say.
So, yes, 100%.
I love that. All right, that's very cool. Let me see. How about this? Game of Thrones star Christopher Hivju, he played Tormund, who is one of the wildlings, and his wife have fully recovered from COVID-19 after testing positive for 4 weeks.
Nice.
Or at least 4 weeks ago they did. He shared the good news on social media, writing, "We are fully recovered and in good health after I was infected by the coronavirus, and most... likely my wife as
well." Dear guy from Game of Thrones and your wife, this is Regis Philbin. I didn't watch the show. I'm usually focused in on Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, but I was very happy to hear about your recovery. God bless.
I would like to hear one Regis letter a day.
Guy from Game of Thrones. I agree.
Wait, guy from Game of Thrones?
This is that guy. He's just, you know.
Regis writes letters.
Yeah,
that's right.
I love that, Steve.
I love to take pen to paper.
Please.
Send a nice note.
I second that. Please continue that. It's up to you, but
sure.
That'd be awesome. Hey, Alex Trebek has announced that he has written a memoir titled The Answer Is Reflections on My Life, which will be released by Simon & Schuster on July 21st.
I was thrilled to hear this, and I said, because, you know, obviously we're all addicted to Jeopardy, and I said to my wife, Claire, I said, this might mean he's doing a tour. You know, he's not going to, obviously his health will not, but he could do a phone tour get him on. It'd be so awesome to talk to Alex Trebek.
I said, I want people to know a little more about the person that I've been cheering on for the past year. He writes in his book, according to the publisher. He will share his insights on marriage, fatherhood, and spirituality, and include plenty of unseen personal photos. The structure of the book is inspired by the show, with chapter titles taking the form of a question. And he will also answer frequently asked questions like why he shaved his mustache and whether he approves of Will Ferrell's Saturday Night Live impersonation of him.
He did an interview. Well, actually, Harvey Levin from TMZ did an interview with him for like an hour. And it was just a real...
Sorry.
Are you rubbing that on yourself, Kathy?
What's going on? Is it your cast again?
Oh, my God.
Again?
I'm so horny.
Here's the microphone.
I'm sorry. This looks like a big penis.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I've been looking at it all day.
No, but...
What happened?
She's pleasuring herself with the microphone.
Oh.
I just thought now was a good time.
Yeah.
What was that? No, the dude's trying to get the cat out. That
was... Once you mentioned Alex Trebek.
Oh, my God.
Try to be quiet.
So he could hardly hear a thing. Sound like you're wrestling a tiger. This special is really good because he has an incredibly accomplished life and a lot of stuff you're probably in his younger days. You know, he's a good looking guy now. He was a ladies man.
Yeah, I believe it. So Brandon Jenner is opening up about his fractured relationship with his father, Caitlyn Jenner.
What's the problem?
The 38-year-old singer.
Come to daddy.
Wrote an essay for To Me, He Was Just a Dad. A collection of first-person stories from children who grew up with famous fathers. And he wrote, I didn't see my father for more than half a dozen times between the ages of 8 and 25.
I admit I wasn't a good dad.
Yeah.
I was trying on panties.
That whole time?
The whole time.
He added, sadly, the infrequent exchanges felt more like staged photo opportunities than real bonding.
Yet?
In fact, they were staged photo ops for family Christmas cards.
When... Wow. Bruce became Caitlin and made the announcement. He was the first to come forward and be very accepting and accommodating of it. Okay. So even though obviously he was not the best father now, and then she, Caitlin, the best father, who knows? You know, he's got some level of peace.
Because of, you know, when this whole thing, and I'm talking about the keeping up with the Kardashians, not the not the transition, you know, he seemed like the most grounded. And, you know, the more that's revealed,
right? Yeah.
is that, no, he was a terrible dad. Like,
yes, you know, he was.
A half a dozen times in how much time there, Preston? 12 years. That's...
Yeah.
Yes, no, I agree. I mean, that's
you're a horrible
that
person.
Sucks.
Yeah.
And yet he took the other family and cashed out the... Yeah. I mean, that just sucks.
One last story, and Steve and I are both excited about this. Dune has unveiled a handful of new photos featuring Oscar Isaac, Zendaya, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, and Rebecca Ferguson, who I have a wild crush on.
You need Kathy's microphone.
It is. Denis Villeneuve is remaking Frank Herbert's legendary sci-fi film, or novel, I should say, after his acclaimed take on Blade Runner 2049. And star Timothy Chalamet gave Vanity Fair a taste of what fans will see. He said, there are these Goliath landscapes, which you may imagine existing on planets in our universe, but not on Earth. It's such a great story. I can't wait.
So I've read it a couple times throughout my life, and every time I read it, if I let enough time pass, I forget so much. It is so rich. The second time I read it, at that point, they'd released a guidebook to go along with it, so you could reference as you're going through all the names and stuff like that, which proves invaluable. It's work to read it, but it's a masterpiece.
I've decided it comes out in December. Yeah. I'm gonna start reading it again within the next couple of weeks.
All right, I have never read the book or have seen the original movie. Do you think I should hold off on all of that?
Yeah, just wait and watch this movie.
Yeah.
I think that'll be your best.
I'm always disappointed in the movie when I read the book first.
That's why I see the movie and then I read the book. Yeah. Now, in this case, there was no movie for years before I was able to read it.
So anyhow, we are ready to move on. We have clips?
Yeah, we're supposed to. Here they are.
Come.
Here it is.
Let's do the clips. The Tiger King and I goes back to visit the friends, but mostly foes, of Joe Exotic. And then this clip, Joe's ex-husband, John Finlay, recalls some of the positive inspirational opportunities was part of while working at the GW Zoo.
Come to know that.
Exactly. Let's see what this is. Here we go.
We helped quite a few people with their last dying wish to be able to pet a tiger, pet a bear, even pet a wolf. I did quite a bit of that, and that actually gave me a different outlook on life.
What the f***?
Okay.
You're allowed to pet a wool?
It is now streaming on Netflix, by the way. All right, next clip. Tonight's episode of The Goldbergs was directed by and stars 80's sweetheart Leah Thompson, who we had on yesterday. In this clip, Sean Giambrone discusses how audiences continue to bask in the show's nostalgia. Here it is.
Largely due to the dynamics between all the family members and the guest stars and everything. It's a lot of relatable moments between characters. And then I think the whole connected to a real-life family.
Yeah!
So the Goldbergs is on tonight, 8 o'clock on ABC.
They do a funny thing with him because when he takes his glasses off in the show, he's supposedly one of his eyes starts to wander. And I don't know if they do a CGI thing or something. But, like, one of the pupils would just start to...
No,
yeah, yeah. I don't think that's something he can do, but it's a very funny joke.
All right, that is your entertainment segment of the program today. Actually, I have some other celeb stuff that maybe we'll get to a little later on. We do have some room to discuss.
And some celeb audio, too, which will go with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have Rock Refund. It's a chance for you to win $500 two times today. We'll start that at 8, which is not too far off, so make sure that you stay with us. We're also going to talk to Dennis Quaid on the program today.
Yeah.
And comedian Bill Engvall. So we have a lot to get to. And Secret Text for a chance for you to win 3 bottles of vodka from Stateside Vodka. Text the word secret to 39333 and you might win that. We're going to take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
MMR's Rock Refund.
Kim, do you have something to say?
I just won $500 on MMR.
Yeah!
Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. to hear the hour's winning keyword.
Woo-hoo!
For those who enter via our mobile app or our website, there's a $10,000 grand prize.
That's awesome.
MMR's Rock Refund. $500, 7 times a day.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Brought to you by A&T Subaru. Subarus always cost less in Sellersville. And
93.3
WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
I love you guys.
Don't forget to text word secret to 39333. We have a secret text word. Chance for you to win 3 bottles of vodka from Stateside Vodka. And we also have a chance for you to win $500 twice this morning with MMR's Rock Refund. The first opportunity coming up at 8 o'clock. So get yourself ready for that. One of the things I left out of the entertainment report was because there's a fair amount of this. But it's this thing called the All-In Challenge.
Yes.
And the group provides, it says here, food to those in need, kids, elderly, and frontline heroes. And a lot of celebrities have gotten on board with different things that they are offering up for a chance to you to bid on or buy lottery tickets for to win.
Yeah, the Sixers are behind this, right? One of the main head honchos of the Sixers put this together.
Yeah, Michael Rubin.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He put this together?
Yeah.
It's awesome. There's a lot of cool stuff. They've raised over $2 million so far. And Kevin Hart is the only one we have. Or no, we have a few here for audio. Well, let's start with somebody from the Sixers. We got Ben Simmons, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear his comment. Here we go.
This is Ben Simmons, and today I'm joining the All-In Challenge. I'm giving one lucky fan person the opportunity to play the NBA game.
Hey, man, they can't play.
You can't? No?
No, man, we gotta stick to this.
Let me see that. Never mind, you're not gonna play the NBA game. I'll play the NBA game. But I'll give you the opportunity to come and join us, and 9 other friends. So we'll put your friends in the suite, 9 people up there. They'll enjoy, have food taken care of, 60 gear, whatnot. You'll come with me. We're going to walk through the hallway, get our photos taken. Then we'll go warm up for a little bit. Once it's game time, you're going to come with me. That's when your name's going to be called out. You're going to run out the tunnels. Fans are going to be screaming. So we're going to enjoy that moment. And then you're just going to go sit right there. I mean, you're sitting courtside anyway, so I mean, you're right there.
So you get this exclusive experience. I don't know if Ben knew what was going on or if he was joking around or what.
Yeah.
But
this is like an Omaze thing or?
I think but in some ways better because like they're, for example, like, yeah, close to Omaze, like what Kevin Hart offers up is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, here's Kevin Hart's clip. Here we go.
What up, world? Kevin Hart here. And I want to say that I accept the All-In Challenge. I will provide a movie star experience for said individual. And by movie star experience, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. I'm talking about giving somebody a speaking role in my next movie. You will have a trailer. You will have an assistant. You will have a car service. I'm going to give you the full shebang, baby. You're going to be the next Denzel.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So Michael Rubin is, you know, one of the, there's like an ownership group, and he's one of the owners of the Sixers.
Right.
If you recall.
He was the Meek Mill guy, right?
Yes. And if you recall a few weeks ago when he, because he also owns Fanatics.com.
Right.
And they were creating like face masks and stuff because they have all this material that they use to make, you know, jerseys and stuff like that.
So kudos to him, man. That's awesome.
I met him at the last Sixers game that I went to, and thank God I didn't realize who I was talking to. I was talking to, and I shook hands, or at least fist bumped, a billionaire,
you know?
And had I realized, I think at the time, I might have actually asked him for $1 million, or I would have done something really, really dumb. I would have done something very Casey.
So, okay. Were you cool? Do you think he came off as slick?
I was like,
were you
Fonzie.
So slick that he just offered you $1 million Fonzie. Anyway?
I was like, I was like Fonzie. I recall as I was walking away, he said to his son something like, "Man, that guy was super cool."
Wow, that guy is cool.
Yeah.
He also is supposedly the guy when the Sixers announced that they were going to do some cuts on their employees, you know, salary cuts. They didn't consult with him, and he is one of the owners. So he kind of, you know, threw a fit, and that's why they went back on that, and they decided not to cut salaries.
Did his kid really say you were cool? Did you make that part up?
I'm pretty sure I made that up.
Okay, just
no, he said, see, son, you can look cool in Crocs.
It was. No, dude, I was wearing my Jordan Retro 4 Flyknits, okay? So right, I was wearing some pretty cool shoes.
Okay. Zach and Julie Ertz offered one up. Here we go.
Hey, everyone. It's the Ertzes, and we are all in for the All-In Challenge. We are so excited to be a part of this and to raise money for such an amazing cause.
And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to auction off an item. That item is going to be a double date with the two of us. And we're going to take you to one of our favorite restaurants in Philadelphia. It's going to be a great night with a lot of great food, conversations. Julie's going to talk your ears off, and I'll be there as well. And then from there, we're going to go to a Sixers game, sit courtside at a Sixers game. So just an overall great evening with the two of us. And that's going to be our all-in challenge auction item. So now we have to challenge three people. So here they are. First, Mike Trout. Secondly, M. Night Shyamalan. And third, Ashton Kutcher. You guys have been challenged.
Okay.
Shyamalan, man. Nice.
And he's done at his Shyamaween, he's offered up, you know, walk-on roles and stuff like that in his movies. So maybe he'll do something along those lines.
All right. The thing I'm unclear on is what's the challenge?
The challenge
is... You have to offer something.
You have to offer something to generate money for the charity.
All right. So
So you talked about the Omaze model. It's basically that. So they're challenging...
Anybody who donates to the charity can be...
No. They are challenging their other famous friends to offer something up.
Sure.
For free, and then they will challenge three of their friends to do the same thing. What?
Yeah. Okay. So I was wondering.
It's when you tell friends about your favorite shampoo.
Oh, so how do you possibly
how
win?
How do I win? Yeah.
There's a couple of different ways. You either bid.
Yes.
Some of the items are for the highest bidder.
Uh-huh.
And other ones are you essentially buy lottery tickets.
Buy raffle tickets.
Yeah,
ticket
raffle tickets. Exactly. Okay. So, and some of these... you know, I like the idea of the raffle as opposed to the highest bidder. But
that's the Omaze model where everyone like for a 10, everyone is in. Everyone is as eligible as anyone else for like a 10. It's usually 10 bucks, isn't it?
Yes. So it's 10 for $10, 25 for 25, or 100 for 50, or 200 for 100.
Okay.
So the more you spend, the more chances, you know, the more tickets go in the basket. So
are there any of these that are a direct highest bidder?
Yes, a lot of them.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, so like, and I'll go through these.
Because that'll generate the most loot.
That's what I was saying. Some of these are bid, but I like the buy ticket thing. I like the buy raffle thing. It gives everybody a shot.
Well, if everyone buys a ticket for $50,000 each.
No. That too.
I could design and call a play in an Eagles game, dude.
I'm going to get to those.
Okay,
Let me play another clip here. Here's Jeff Lurie. Hang on.
I want to give one of you the chance to design and run the next great play in Eagles history. Start by visiting us at training camp to work with our coaches to design and perfect the play and then teach it to the team during practice. Then join the coaches at a preseason game to call your play from the sidelines, directly call it into the quarterback. So if it's a really dynamic play, then you know what? We'll probably use it again next time we're in the Super Bowl. Just go to allinchallenge.com. And now I challenge Jerry Jones, our respected rival in the Dallas Cowboys, to join me by going all in.
Okay. So he's putting the challenge out.
Anything come to mind, like the Casey jerky?
I have what I think is a really good Hail Mary type play.
Okay.
And I don't want to reveal it on the air.
Hail Casey?
Yeah.
You'd have to call it that.
Do you remember in the Goldbergs where Barry Hail Barry,
mm-hmm.
where he throws the pass, Preston runs downfield and catches it.
Oh, he catches his own pass?
Yeah.
I love it. Case, let me see if that one is... Well, let me go ahead and go through these because...
There's some good stuff
here. I want to know if that one... Casey, that one is an enter to win.
Okay.
So you can enter it. You don't have to do the big bid if you don't have the big money to offer up. So you could potentially win that one.
This could reconstitute your association because you were an employee for a while, but you locked all the you locked the van up with all the soda or whatever it was. What was that?
It was beer.
Beer.
And I was a ball boy for the Eagles.
Right. And you left in disgrace.
You cried.
I cried.
What if you were
able
to design the winning play, the new winning play?
All right. So here are a few of them. Let's see here. Being Kevin Hart's movie. That's right. That one is an enter to win. You can win Meek Mill's 2018 Rolls-Royce Phantom. The opening bid on that is $200,000.
Okay. So everyone who bids $200,000 is in the running.
No. It's highest bidder.
Oh,
who wins that one? You can shop and make TikToks with Charlie and Dixie.
Oh,
I know, Steve.
That's your jam.
Absolutely.
How about this one? This one's actually pretty cool. If you are a Justin Bieber fan.
And I am.
He will sing One Less Lonely Girl at your house.
Oh, my God.
Now, you can enter to win that one.
You hear that, Bieber Nation?
It's not a bid. So that's pretty cool. You can own Peter Guber's 2015 Golden State Warriors championship ring. The opening bid is $50,000.
I don't know who Peter Guber is.
I don't either.
He created Goobers.
The chocolate covered peanuts?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
He's better known for that. Peter Gruber is a producer.
Oh, no, Gruber. No. Peter Goober. It's Goober.
The Goober.
The guy I'm looking at, I thought is. All right.
The 2015 Golden State Warriors championship ring. I'd say that's not a producer. That's a guy who is a sports.
Is he?
Maybe he's.
Let's check.
He's not
spelled
the owner.
G-U-B-E-R.
All right. Let's check this out.
Okay.
Because
he could be both. You know.
No.
He could be a.
It's
music.
The law. You can't be two things at once, Nick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jeffrey Lurie. He's an owner and a producer.
Yeah. So he has a minor ownership in the Golden State Warriors, and he also is a producer.
All right. But it's Goober.
Yeah, Peter Goober.
Yeah, like you
said Gruber.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Mark Cuban, one-day contract to play with the Mavericks.
Really?
Yeah. And that's an enter to win, so anybody can. So it's one of those, you know, you're not going to play in an NBA game.
So do you remember, I just was looking at doing a little research on Mark Cuban because what all that he's involved in. Do you remember that his initial money came from the creation, remember the Real Audio app?
Remember
that was one of the first media players?
Okay. Yeah, he was a total tech nerd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where his initial cash came from.
All right. How about this one? You can throw out the first pitch at the next World Series.
At the next Super Bowl.
That's pretty awesome.
Wow.
And that is
is awesome.
That is an enter to win. So if you just want to spend $10, and remember, this is all going to help the cause, so that's cool too. You can play horse and sit courtside for the Lakers with Magic Johnson. That's a bid, and the opening bid is $50,000. You can golf and have a Daytona ride-along with Denny and Bubba's Richard Milley, 39 what? To
Bobby
1 watch.
Brown?
What the hell is that?
Is it Denny Hamlin?
Let
me see.
Denny and Bubba's Richard Milley, 39 to 1 watch. I don't know.
I don't know what the F that means, but I mean, it could be Denny Hamlin and Bubba Wallace.
I don't know.
Bubba Gump?
Anyhow, there's a $100,000 bid on that. Golf and dinner with Peyton Manning in your hometown.
Okay.
All right, so
opening bid is $50,000.
Give me, without on this list, I know we're getting to some others. What would be the ultimate fantasy along these lines? Or does one come to mind immediately that might entice you to go all in?
To go all in would be pretty hard.
I'm thinking something playing with like a drummer.
Well, if Neil was still alive.
Yeah.
To be able to like sit behind his drum kit and play it at soundcheck would be I'd bid on something like that, but he died, so that's not going to happen. Yeah, it would be something drum related, but I'd have to really consider what I'd want to do because I've had a chance to jam with some.
Yeah, you've had some pretty cool. I was just wondering.
My fantasies have already come true.
Yes, I have nothing to live for.
But maybe perform with Paul McCartney.
Oh,
to have a jam session, like an hour jam session with Paul. Oh, I play drums, he plays bass and sings. There you go.
I mean,
I would offer a lot of money for that. Nick?
I was just going to ask, because Michael Rubin was actually going to come to Camp Out for Hunger 2 years ago, and then the schedules didn't work out, so I'm just reaching back out. Would you want to chat with him?
Yes!
All right, let me see if I can get him on, because he is a really nice guy, and like Casey alluded to earlier, like he's done so much with Fanatics to give people what they need right now, and I don't – is he like behind all of this?
This is his baby, or at least he's one of the main driving forces of the All In Challenge. And as Casey pointed out, there was also that thing about converting sports wear for face masks and things like that. These are a couple of really good things he's involved with.
It's frustrating because I think Nick, he and I are, and you, we're
he thinks
all
you're very cool.
We're all the same age, right?
Yeah, and the measure of success that he's attained versus what I've attained and you've attained is remarkable.
Yeah,
you can delineate where he's done well in life.
All right, so here's a few of the other things, and this is the all-in challenge, and you can either bid or buy a raffle ticket for these. Steve.
What?
You could get Casanova's personal Yeezy collection.
Oh, my God.
And you can enter to win that.
I would look spectacular in Yeezys.
How about this? Play golf with Rob Lowe.
Okay.
That'd be pretty play golf, but I'd like to hang out with Rob Lowe.
It'd be cool.
I think I'd rather play golf with Peyton Manning.
Okay. Well, you can do that. You can bid on what you like.
I just got to come up with $50,000.
I'd like to do... Let me see.
The opening bid is $25,000 to play golf with Rob Lowe. A lot of these...
MMA with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
These next few ones Because you'd have a shot of winning.
Yeah, yeah. I could kick that chick's ass.
Our bid on. So how about Yo Gotti's pre-owned platinum Rolex presidential watch and personal coach tour bus? The opening bid is $10,000 on that.
What is that? in the driveway.
You can.
Yo Gotti's personal tour bus.
What?
You could possibly sit in the draft war room with Allen Houston and the Knicks. And the, is that Nick McWayne and Nick Murphy?
Yes.
Yeah, we could do a better job than the Knickerbocker.
Yeah, right?
The Knicks. You can bid on that now for $10,000. Winemaking with Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
The opening bid is $5,000 on that.
Yeah?
Is Gabrielle Union going to be a part of that?
I would expect that part of it. Skate and play with the 1994 Stanley Cup New York Rangers. $10,000 opening bid for that, I know.
Look at that at the bottom. You can get a copy of the nuclear codes.
Okay, I don't know what this one says.
The launch codes.
This says fly to Vegas to be backstage crew for the.
All right, so let me see the picture there.
I don't know who that is.
That's kind of an open offer.
Is that the Chainsmokers?
It looks like the Chainsmokers, Case.
Okay.
It is the Chainsmokers.
It's the Chainsmokers.
Oh my gosh, it's the Chainsmokers.
Hey!
Everybody, guys, it's the Chainsmokers. Hey! I was just so happy that I, because I.
Go ahead, Preston. You got one.
Yeah.
What a right? day.
Yeah.
What a Whew. Day. let's see. Giants game. How about this? Dinner and acting with viral video guru King Bach.
King Bach.
Okay. Hey, listen, whatever brings the money in. If there are people that know who this guy is, then that's fine.
I mean, we may think he's a creep, but he could be great.
We have audio of this one. Private skateboarding lesson with Tony Hawk.
Whoa.
And that's entered to win. So anybody can bid $10 on that. Here we go. Come on, man. Come on.
Hey, guys. It's me, Tony, and I accept the all-in challenge. Things are very tricky these days, and people have been going hungry, but even more so thanks to the situation we're in. And so I want to help provide for them and help to raise millions of dollars for those in need. So I am offering a one-on-one skate lesson exhibition, whatever you want to call it. You and a friend, actually two-on-one. So you and a friend can come out. We'll skate together. We can skate here in my backyard. We could go skate in my ramp. We could go to a park. And we can do kickflips. Or you can yell at me to do a kickflip. Either one. Maybe I'll teach you kickflips. Anyway, please go donate and win the chance. And hopefully we'll be hanging out. And to nominate someone else, I challenge Weird Al Yankovic to be all in. Because I think you provide a very cool experience. And I'm a huge fan. And so it's up to you, Weird Al. I will see you guys soon. All in.
I like that.
This is a cool concept. The idea of making it a viral challenge, will make the list of things. You know, so you're taking the ice bucket challenge concept, and this could have exponential repercussions.
Yeah, and so somebody here's a text that says, "What the f? These opening bids are unattainable by the average show." Some of them are.
Yes.
Other ones, like that one with Tony Hawk, is you can spend $10 and be entered to win. So some of them, yes. They're like here you go. You can Eli Manning's 2011 Super Bowl MVP Corvette convertible.
How much?
It's a $10,000 opening bid, which is, you know, more than the other dude who had his Rolls-Royce up for $200,000.
Yeah.
So that was Meek Mills, by the way.
But listen, I mean, if you had $10,000 to buy a Corvette, why not bid that and maybe... Mm. That will be the opening bid.
It's possible.
And the winning bid.
Yeah. And also, if there are really rich people out there that may take part in this, and if the money goes to the cause, then...
That's a win.
It's justified. Yeah, exactly.
And I bet you a lot of these people, if this is some sort of memorabilia that entices people, they may end up buying their own stuff back.
Yes.
Yeah, which is quite possible.
You could be Ryan Seacrest's next co-host.
Ooh!
That's an enter to win. I don't know, co-host on what? Is it on live?
It's on the.
On the. then one more I'll highlight. You can have a love ballad customized by Robin Thicke.
Oh, my God.
I know it's your dream.
It is my dream.
Casey's wondering if we should do our own all-in challenge.
Because, you know, we're never going to get selected by, you know, these guys are all super-duper famous people.
Well, what would you offer up? An invite to your celebrity barbecue?
Well, that will never happen. But, you know, I could do something like go to an Eagles game with me, you know, hang out and tailgate with me and drink Diet Cokes and, you know. Maybe all that some, sort of stuff.
A big tray of wings at the, in the suite.
You know, I could do that and not pay for them.
$5,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe go to a Fish concert with me or something. You know, I would have to sort of think about what would be.
That's the thing. What would be valuable to a listener who would want to bid on something like
maybe
that?
Maybe people can suggest what they would find enticing or interesting to do with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And see if that, because we're probably not going to be creative when it comes to that.
Like Kathy, you could gather succulents with Kathy or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Then we can go to Floral and Hardy. Uh-huh.
So what I don't know is...
I'll show you what I do with my microphone.
who benefits from this? Is it a whole bunch of different charities that benefit from the All-In Challenge?
It just says providing food to those in need, kids, elderly, and frontline heroes.
Yeah, because I was thinking that, you know, like Phil Abundance is, you know, I think they're in a...
Quandary
right now. And, you know, somebody was emailing me the other day about something. I'm, you know...
of course.
About
it happens to me too.
Yeah. About how to help out, right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was talking with Phil Abundance earlier this week or last week, Casey, because we were trying to set something up. And right now, honestly, the only thing that they need and can accept is money.
Yeah.
Because volunteers have to be limited.
Yes.
Food donations have to be limited. And so if you are considering make a donation, and obviously it's a consideration that's difficult for some people, but if you can and have the means and we're thinking about doing it to Phil Abundance, the best thing to do right now for them is strictly money, because they know how to spend it. They know how to stretch the dollar farther than you probably do. And it'll go a long way. And they really can't do much else right now because of the situation we're in.
So what would be the coolest thing you could offer, Case? Number one,
my
line of thinking is like to do either the Eagles game with you or a Fish concert.
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder for the Eagles Sixers, and I go to every Fish concert that comes to this area. So it would be something like that. And, you know, somebody had texted over that nobody likes Fish. That's not true. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people love Fish.
That's just not true.
That seems not to true. Be a little is, inaccurate.
You might not like fish, and that's fine, but there are other people that do. And I know some people, so I might be able to, you know, get like special seating or something like that. But
hey,
I mean, I would really have to come up with something.
Okay, well, go to line one. I think this might pertain to you directly. I don't know if it pertains to us in general, but...
I was going to read some text messages. Sorry, we got a bunch coming in. Hang on a second here. I'll go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, President Steve? What's up, guys? Big fan.
Oh, thanks, awesome. Man. What's up?
I was thinking, man, hey, listen, one day, you know, everybody get together in Jetro parking lot, do a big cookout, you know, with you guys there. I think, you know, I heard you guys say, you know, not as famous as the other people. Well, you know what? You know, I'm big fans of you, and I know Philadelphia is big fans of you guys.
It's very nice, Ken. I don't know if I'd want to attend that, but yeah. You know, I thought you were talking about Casey's. Yeah. Casey always talks about this legendary barbecue, Kevin, where he'd have all these celebrities that never show up.
Right.
He was
talking about tailgating.
Tailgating.
Yeah, I forgot to mention the Eagles game part of the Jetro lobby.
Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate the love, brother.
All right, man.
Have a good one.
See ya. All right, let me read some of these.
Yeah.
So, round of golf with Casey and Preston.
Oh.
There's a lot of played golf with Preston, but I'm kind of on the DL with my shoulder right now.
Well, you can caddy.
Let's see. $100. No. Yeah, as you can imagine, the Kathy ones are interesting.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Round of golf. I will pay $57 for one night with Casey. No limits.
Wow.
No limits.
Yeah. Wow.
Wait. I have a couple of limits. Nothing in the
this?
Butt.
Nothing in the butt?
No, I mean, not my butt.
No, not much in the butt.
Your butt's open.
Yeah.
His butt is
completely open.
My butt is
He just
closed.
Won't do someone else's
You'd
butt.
You'd like the other butts open.
Yeah.
A fast pass at Keenan's. That's interesting. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah. Well, we can almost guarantee it.
Let's see. Be on air personality for the day. Oh, Bill would love that. Let's see. Preston could offer a drum lesson VIP for the year of events.
Huh.
I'll bid $100 to have Kathy fart.
Wow. Okay. Kathy.
How about this, Casey? Swimming lessons with Casey Boy.
Oh, I used to teach swimming lessons.
That could be fun, right?
Yeah.
This person says, I'd pay $10 not to go to a Fish concert.
Okay.
Casey can spoon someone.
I love that.
You're
quite a spooner, we know.
I'm a good forker.
Yeah.
I'd like to fork you.
Let's see. How much to play crack shot with you guys? That could be interesting. Oh, my God, Kathy. There's so many different exams people want to do with you.
Yeah, you could skip those.
Various exams.
I'm sure they all involved arts and crafts.
Yeah, right. I'm sure it's all appropriate.
No, but I think, like, something maybe like a giant...
fisting?
Like a Target shopping spree with Kathy or something like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Butthole sunning with Nick and Casey.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. That's Nick's thing.
I will spend hundreds to bid on dinner with our heroes, Bill Weston and Gary Lauer.
That would be a hell of a dinner.
Yes, that would be. Pearl Jam concert with Nick. Let's see. Make TikTok videos with Casey. Drum lesson with Preston. Play Call of Duty with Steve. Do a fall activity with Kathy.
Ooh.
Let's see. So there's a bunch here.
There was one that was sit in on the show and get to ask a guest a question or two. I thought that was, you know, there are attainable ones like backstage passes at MMA barbecue or things like that. There are things that we could try to set up that are, you know, through our promotions department that I think are pretty doable.
$50 for Kiki's panties.
Kiki's panties.
Yep. Steve, somebody wants to take a tour of your Batman room.
Yeah, I'd do that. I'd have him come in. We could do the Batman room tour, and then we could watch some Batman movies in my little media room.
Let's see. A rectal exam from Dr. Mike.
Ooh.
Hey, been there. Dude, he's pretty gentle. Good.
He's gentle.
He uses extra lube.
Mm-hmm. Movie session with Steve. Snacks and trivia included. That could be good.
What about gardening for me?
Gardening?
That you come over and do my garden.
Oh, I like that.
Fix
yes.
up your garden for yeah. you.
Deliver mulch to Steve's house.
How about come to my house and cut down these the azalea trees in my backyard?
I have a patch where I think there's poison ivy. You could come over and remove that.
Here you go, Kathy. Salsa dance lessons with you or Manthi. Either one, it says, would work. So.
Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom.
drink whiskey with Preston. I want to fight Nick. No gloves. No hate. I love Nick. I just want to punch that watermelon of a head.
I want. Right. Yes.
It's for charity.
It's for charity, man. It's no hate. He just wants to see what it would feel like.
Uh-huh. I mean, my defense is pretty good, so you'd have to get the punch in, you know?
Yeah, How about your defense is crying.
How about, this is bar crawl with Marissa, or maybe like a cheese tour.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Organize your home with Kathy. So there's a couple of decent ones in here.
All right. Keep the suggestions coming.
Host the MM barbecue. That's not bad. Dream catcher making with Manthi.
How about wake Pierre up?
Oh, my God, these things don't even work.
How about wake Pierre up for a week of work?
Oh, every day?
Yeah, every day.
Give Pierre a ride to work every day?
You're his alarm clock.
Oh, my God.
What do you want?
There's potential. Let's kick this idea around. We got to figure out the legalities and how we do it. I don't know. I doubt they'll ask us to be a part of the All-In
Challenge. No. Especially when you're giving away Kevin Hart movies.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, listen, because, like, Jackson is a... he's an owner of a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym. You could maybe do something with that. He's a black belt.
Yep.
You could maybe mum with Jackie Ooh. Bam Bam or something like that.
How about mumming with Bill Weston?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Look at me. I'm flamboyantly dressed.
God.
Look-a-tuck-a-tuck-a-tuck-a.
I would pay for that one, Steve.
Yes. We need to do him up in full mummer regalia.
I got loud makeup on and I'm dancing.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. let's kick that idea around. We have a promotion meeting today. Maybe we can talk about that with those guys.
All right.
But it's really cool. There's some good stuff on here. So it's through the All-In Challenge. If you just do a search on that, or we'll have Marissa post that up on PrestonSteve.com, so it's very easily accessible to you. Let's take a break and come back, because we do have Bizarre File stories on the way, and your first shot at winning $500, MMR's Rock Refund, when we get back. Make sure you stay with us.
Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now, they could use our help. Introducing WMMR's Operation Shop Local, encouraging you to buy a gift card from your local business to use in the future. But the cash you spend helps the business right now during a rough time. You can also make a difference patronizing businesses offering home delivery or curbside pickup. If you run a local business, go to WMMR.com and list your business in our directory of available goods and services. Operation Shop Local is a free service. WMMR is promoting this local business directory for our listeners to review and support.
support when possible. We're all in this together. A message in the community interest from the Beasley Media Group and WMMR.
All right, in the interest of time, we're diving right back into things because we're going to go live on Fox Good Day in a moment. We're going to have a chance to win $500 with MMR's Rock Refund in just a little bit. I'm not sure, Kathy, are you there or not? Are you there? She's not okay. So, yeah, we didn't tell the gang that we were going to get right back into things, so she might be
making a boom boom.
It's her opportunity to, if she's going to. So we'll get back to the traffic in just a moment. So what should I mention? I should mention, because we're going to talk about Isolation Idol when we go on Fox 29 in a moment, so I won't do that. Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
Take a big swig, man.
I thought we were going to go to traffic, and I just ate a little breakfast bar thing.
Mmm.
God, that feels so bad. My mouth is all dry. I'm going to shoot now. It is difficult to talk when you have residual food left in your mouth, so you tend to salivate, or at least I do. I can do a couple of shout-outs real quick. Marissa, are we about a minute away? By a minute. Okay. It says, hey, guys, if you don't read this on the requested date, it's okay. I called the guys near the beginning of the outbreak to tell you about my boyfriend, Joe. Here's a little recap on him. Today is his birthday. Obviously, we cannot celebrate how we normally would this year as he, but he owns a route for Snyder's Pretzels and has been working a lot harder these last few weeks since pandemic, although he has been able to slow down a bit. I still worry about him when he enters the supermarkets that he's at every week. I'd like you guys to give him a shout out if you can. As a way to say thank you and happy birthday to him, sincerely, from Brittany in Northeast Philadelphia.
Glad to do it. So I'll do it twofold. Here we go.
Right.
And then,
Joe, I love you.
Very
nice. So thank you. We appreciate that. And we'll send that out to you and anybody who's out driving around, stopping at places, and are concerned about people who are doing that very thing as well. So we got a few seconds before we go live on. Kathy, are you there now?
Yes.
Okay. So we jumped back into things early. We don't have time for traffic. Oh, you weren't finished yet. We're going on Fox Good Day in about 10 seconds. When you hear the music, that means we are live on the air, and there it is. So here we go. What the hell was that?
It's Wednesday.
I'm scared.
President Steve, it is Wednesday, and how is Isolation Idol going?
It's going well. We are getting submissions. Our audition judges are taking a look at them. I haven't had a chance to really see anything as of yet or hear.
Response has been good,
though. Response has been good. So for those who don't know, we are, you know, listen, a lot of people are stuck at home right now, and especially the creative types are maybe stretching their creative muscles a little bit more and rehearsing more and writing more and performing a little bit more via the web. So we wanted to get a flavor for that. And we offered up a $500 prize for a winner to Isolation Idol. Since you are at home, we wanted you to send a video of you performing, and we'll go through an audition process. And then next week, we're going to have people come on the air live and perform for us. And then we'll have finalists each day, and then we'll have a championship at the end of the week where listeners will vote on that. Got it?
Did we lose them?
I think we lost them.
Okay.
Now we got it.
Okay.
What kind of things are being submitted? Did it start off as like music, like American Idol, and it's got into other forms now?
Actually, a lot of adult film stuff is coming. No. It's mostly music, right? It's 99% music.
Yes, I assume so. Marissa and Nick have been the ones that have been whittling through the submission, so I don't really know exactly, but we will find out. Steve, next week. There is
one didgeridoo submission.
A didgeridoo!
Yes, and a lot of singing, some guitar shredding, and, you know, things along those lines. But, not, you know, it's an audio-based competition, so that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, yep. you wouldn't see a didgeridoo on American Idol, right? Yeah?
No.
Do you get extra points if you write your own song?
No, you get no other points. However, you do have to sign to our soon-to-be-formed record company, which will be part of... We're going to Simon Cowell this thing and make everyone our entertainment slaves, basically.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be... it doesn't have to be original.
Yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever shows, it just has to be audio because we're radio, right. And obviously that... The audience has to hear something. But again, it's a wide variety of musical styles that's coming in. Nick is sort of curating everything, and it looks promising. Mm-hmm. Or it could go down in flames. We don't know.
I have a question for you. I am going to submit my Sammy Davis Jr.
Ooh.
Impression.
Oh, okay. No.
Big with the kids these days. They love the Sammy Davis stuff.
They love Kung Sammy, ka-chung.
Yeah, if you could be there drinking a little Mogan David while you're doing it, too.
Manischewitz or...
Man. When unexpected cats drop by. Yeah.
Okay, here's one thing. What have you all learned about yourselves in quarantine? Preston, let's start with you.
Wow, what have I learned about myself? You know what? Our routine has not changed as much. We're still coming to work.
It's like you. It's like you, Mike, and Alex. You both. I mean, though Alex is at home, but your schedule is pretty much the same, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've learned that when I try to play referee with my kids and family, it still doesn't work. None of that has changed. But I haven't learned anything new about myself, Mike. Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Some people are finding more patience, or
no,
that kind of thing.
That's not true.
I've no. Kathy says no.
Kathy's like, nope.
Patience is like the last thing. That's what I'm losing is my patience.
Yeah.
So, how's the marriage?
It's not good. It's not good. It's going well, Kathy. Right.
I think yesterday was not a good day. I was losing my patience for sure. I need to get out. I think that's the one thing I learned, that I like to go out. I need to go to a restaurant. I need to see other people. And
Kathy also has a voracious sexual appetite. And it will tire any man out.
That's true. She needs many partners.
Many partners.
Okay. We'll see y'all next week.
Okay. We'll see what we learn next week. See you later,
that was
guys.
Weird.
That was strange.
There were long pauses, right?
I think there's a delay in the signal or something like that, because I stopped and we stopped talking and there was this long pause.
I was watching you guys on TV. I think they were doing something else. It looked it was just you guys on camera with the Isolation Idol logo. That was up on the screen, and when it came back to them, they had clearly been doing something else or trying to prep for something else.
Marissa? We had sent over some of our Isolation Idol contestant tapes, and I think behind the scenes they were trying to get them onto the screen.
It wasn't happening.
So they were probably listening in their ear to see if they were ready or not and stretching. Okay.
So if Preston was talking on, Preston, go to commercials now. So on TV, that's a lot of what's happening.
Yeah, and it's hard to continue your train of thought when someone is speaking into your ear like that. So I can understand why they were slightly distracted. Okay.
All right.
Hey, it's 8:01. We got to do this.
93.3 WMMR. Now, your rock refund keyword.
The word for you to enter is friend.
Friend.
Oh. That's right. F-R-I-E-N-D. Friend.
A wonderful word.
And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do that. You can do it via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter on the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and that person will get a call from our company, Beasley, so be sure to answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com and is sponsored by A&T, Subaru, and Chevy in Sellersville. And the word again is friend.
Friend.
Get on that. Good luck to you. Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. Kathy, what's going on this morning?
In Pottstown, High Street between Arm & Hammer Boulevard and Pleasant View Road, we've got an accident there. It is causing jam traffic. Traffic is being diverted around the accident area. In Upper Moreland Township, Easton Road at 611, an accident there. In South Philadelphia, Broad Street northbound at the Schuylkill, we've got the ramps narrowed because of construction. So westbound on the Schuylkill Expressway, that ramp closed to trucks. In Christiana, Delaware, Route 1 southbound between 273 and 40, we've got right lane construction. And then also in Newcastle, Airport Road between Commons Boulevard and 95, some flooding to watch out for there. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Now Allstate has new lower auto rates. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote now. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, sharing stories. It's what we do, and I'm going to begin with this one. A man from Indiana ended up receiving what appeared to be a lottery win rather than a stimulus check. Charles Calvin checked his bank account and found $8.2 million had been deposited into his checking account.
Awesome!
Instead of the $1,700 he had been expecting to cover himself and a child.
Man, they gave me a little bit more.
The IRS had announced that it sent out the first round of stimulus payments on Saturday. Calvin, a volunteer firefighter in New Chicago, Indiana.
Hey, Ed, did you get your $8 million check?
Couldn't believe what he was seeing when he checked his balance at the ATM. He said, once I withdrew $200 out of my account, I looked at the available balance still left in my account. At first, he thought the machine had thrown up some sort of error, so he ran his card again. Exact same amount was shown again.
That's just cruel.
So on Monday, he called his bank and was told that the money was no longer in his account, although the $1,700 stimulus money was. He said, it kind of sucks. You go from being a millionaire 1 second and then back to being broke again. But hey, once you're poor, you don't have anywhere else to go but up.
Sounds like a good guy. They should have given him $1 million just for being honest.
I know. Calvin is not sure if the readout was an error made by the federal government or just the ATM he used. Either way, he's not complaining as he received what he was legitimately entitled to.
Yeah.
Most people should receive their deposits in the coming days. An Indonesian fashion influencer claims to have made a bag out of a human spine and alligator tongues.
Sounds good, Kath.
And is now trying to sell it for $5,000.
Ooh.
Arnold Putra first put the bag featuring a handle made out of an entire child's spine who had osteoporosis up for sale in 2016 on Instagram.
It's a dead baby.
The post, it's appeared on Artro's main Instagram page as well as UK website called The Unconventional.
Ooh, I love your clutch. Oh, it's a baby long.
But don't worry, the human spine is, quote, ethically sourced, he told the insiders.
How?
The spine was medically sourced from Canada with papers, according to Arturo. It's possible to buy bones from licensed companies in Canada that receive human specimens donated to medicine and occasionally sell them as surplus.
Isn't the purpose, though, usually to use them for some sort of medical research or something?
Yeah.
To turn them into fashion?
The controversial bag came to light when 19-year-old student Maxim had found the post and tweeted it in March. His now deleted tweet caused outrage on social media, with many bombarding the Instagram post with their disgusted reactions. Mm-hmm. The Instagram account, his Instagram account also features original designs using polar bear fur, pigskin, and Komodo dragon skin that shed peeled off a living dragon by Arnold. So
yeah,
that's what he does. He sells weird stuff. In Florida, neighbors in Sand Lake Cove say that they are seeing more people being attacked by hawks. When Tanya Viltelic was walking her dog, she was suddenly attacked. She said, it felt like a brick hit me in the back of the head. And I got knocked to the ground. She says the hawk went right for her head. Pictures show the painful gashes. She said, I have about 4 scratches.
Look at my gash.
On my head, but at least they weren't as deep as the other people have had. She said, around 15 of her neighbors have also been injured. She said, I feel... Dmitry Morozov said, I feel like something brushed my head and my dog was dumbfounded. He was attacked. He said, I've never been attacked by a hawk before, so it was awesome.
The suckers are big.
And scary at the same time, but also kind of surprising to say the least.
Have you ever done one of those bird shows at like SeaWorld or whatever?
And they fly right over your head? Yeah.
Those are big bastards.
They are. Surprising because even after he was injured, he said that his dad got injured as well. He said, my father also got attacked the day after I got attacked. And got a scratch on his head as well. According to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, this is the time of year when hawks are nesting. Mm. Wildlife officials said raptors dive at people who come too close, and they recommend trimming back branches so that hawks can't perch on them. They also said it's a good idea to use umbrellas or hard hats to protect yourself.
Or machine guns.
When you're outside, yes.
Remember we had, was it a goose or what was it that was in the bushes out in front of the building?
It was a goose.
Yeah. Nick, yeah. I think you almost had a fist fight with the goose.
Well, I wanted to fight him because he was an a-hole.
Right. And he wanted to see what his melon head would feel like
Yeah. He was protecting his babies, was he not?
Well, she was.
No, she was gender fluid.
Yeah. A British woman in a long-term relationship with a 92-year-old German chandelier has been told that her attraction to historic light fittings is not considered to be a protected sexual orientation.
How old is she?
You know what? I didn't catch her age, Steve.
I think she's like in her mid-40s, and the chandelier's 92. What do they talk about?
That's a big split. The press regulator Ipso made a ruling after Amanda Liberty, a woman from Leeds in her mid-30s, there you go.
Yeah.
Complained about an article in The Sun mocking her public declaration of love for Lumiere, her name for an intricate lamp she bought on eBay.
Yeah.
She argued that the newspaper's article had breached the regulator's code of conduct, which requires publishers to avoid prejudicial or pejorative references to an individual's sexuality. Liberty's identifies as an objectum sexual, an individual who is attracted to objects. She objected to being included in the end-of-year article by columnist Jane Moore, which nominated her for a Dagenham Award, which is simply because of her sexual attraction to Lumiere. And I guess it's a, you know, an idiot award of some sort.
Right, like the Darwin Awards.
Yeah. The newspaper said it did not doubt that her attraction to chandeliers was genuine. However, it said that sexual orientation in the context of the press regulation code covered people who are attracted to people of the same sex, the opposite sex, or both.
Listen, if you want to bang a chandelier, have at it.
And since Liberty was not legally able to marry the chandelier, it would not be legally discriminatory to prevent such a marriage.
Mm.
One last story. A naked woman jumped on top of a police car in Spain after a court appearance for violating the country's coronavirus stay-at-home mandate. Video shows an unidentified blonde standing with her hands held above her head while completely naked atop of her of a patrol car outside a police station in southern Spain.
It's like TJ Hooker, but without the TJ.
The woman stripped down and hopped on top of the cruiser after being released on bail for flouting Spain's strict lockdown mandate. Three officers soon took her back into custody. Video shows she was taken to a hospital for evaluation. She was first picked up by police after neighbors reported that a woman had been streaking during a daily tribute for emergency workers.
They arrested for breaking quarantine, not for being nude and jumping on the hood of the car.
She's getting both, actually.
Oh, okay. So,
and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. All right, you got a little less than 5 minutes before you can enter the word friend for a shot at $500. That would go nicely in your bank account, so make sure that you do that. The word is friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You can text it for through our contest short code, which is 45911. Or if you'd like to win $10,000, you could be in the running for that grand prize by entering it on the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. So get on that now. We'll take a break and come back in a moment. Don't forget, in a little while, Dennis Quaid on the show.
Yeah.
And Bill Engvall on the show as well. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I know we didn't get a chance to speak. We're all busy during the music and the commercials and all that stuff. But I think, and we haven't been here in a while.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to head to the Jessian Institute, if that's okay. All right, because I think we have some studies.
What? There's a lot of information necessary to get out there.
Yeah.
You did say that.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the Jessian Institute, we did just say things.
Yes, and we need our music, so I'm sorry. I should have let Casey know ahead of time. But here we go.
At the Jessian Institute, the music may not happen at the exact moment we announce it, but it eventually comes.
This is true.
Located over 200 sprawling acres in West Virginia, established in 1928, the Jessian Institute provides all sorts of useless information for morning shows around the world.
So here is a study that basically states you don't have to worry about young people spending too much time on their screens, having it affect their social skills in real life. Researchers from The Ohio State University
The real one?
The one, yes. Compared teacher and parent evaluations of children who started kindergarten in 1998, 6 years before Facebook launched, with those who began school in 2010 when the first iPad debuted, and they found both groups of kids were rated similarly on interpersonal skills such as forming and maintaining friendships and getting along with people who are different.
So they're basically edgy loners at this point, right?
No, not at all. It says that there's not; it's not hurting their social skills.
So in your house, do you think your kids seem, you know, gregarious, or at least, you know, they're friends and so on and so forth, social.
Then Parker's not very social, but
he's social and his interests. Which
yes.
And so he's found his group.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I'm finding that my kids don't spend a lot of time on social media, if that's what we're talking about. Now, they do spend a lot of time with technology.
All right.
And watching YouTube videos and gaming and things like that. They're not really on social media that much, but
is the focus of this just online says, in general, or social media specifically?
It says technology, and it talks about the launch of Facebook and when the first iPad debuted. So I think it's kind of an overall spending time with devices.
All right.
Okay, so, and my kids do spend a lot of time with devices, but it's mainly watching videos along those lines. So there's a little bit of socializing that does take place. But for the most part, it's kind of their own entertainment. So, but they still manage to be social and all.
Yeah, every time I pass my son as he's playing on the PS4, I say, "Who
he
you
tells
hate?
You're in the company of greatness."
Yes, he goes, "Dad, I'm clapping cheeks right now." All right, cool.
Clapping cheeks.
That's my new favorite one, bro.
And what does it mean, bro?
It's like kicking ass. Okay. Yeah, I'm totally clapping cheeks right now. Yeah, so I can't wait to actually use that in conversation. But when I
your kid is Vince Vaughn.
Dude, I love him so much. Yeah. He's so funny. But when I pass him, I say, "Who are you hanging out with?" Normally, I would say 95% of the time he's on his PS4, he's playing with classmates friends or whatever.
So there is socializing going on.
Yep. So it says that they rated similar with kids in the past as far as forming and maintaining friendships and getting along with people who are different. They also rated similarly on self-control, for example, the ability to regulate their temper. The study author said, overall, we found very little evidence that the time spent on screens was hurting social skills for most children. There is a tendency for every generation at my age to start to have concerns about the younger generation, and it's an old story. You remember
my television and parents always get it. Would you get off that telegraph? Would you get off that telegraph?
Da, 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 da. All the time.
I'm just talking to my friend.
Click, 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 click.
Oh my God. Go outside and play, though you have incredibly muscular fingers.
Steven!
I'm sorry, Mom!
Get off of that machine.
That's you know, so funny. I'm a little older.
All right. Well, anyhow, don't worry about it affecting too much. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is the same.
Some kids are star-raving lunatics.
Yeah. They might spend a little too much time on their screens.
And then before you know it, you're selling body parts in India.
All right. So clapping cheeks is also like banging, I guess.
I don't know. Let's go to DJ because he's got a comment. Hey, DJ, how you doing?
Hey, guys, I love you like Dr. Mike.
Ah, love that phrase. Love
you. All right, DJ, you wanted to comment on clapping cheeks?
So I'm not trying to snitch on Casey's son, you know, but and he might just be misguided, too, but it definitely is at least it started out as a sexual term, and people who play video games are basically saying, like, I'm effing you right now, boy.
I got a lot of texts coming in saying that it means doggy style and more.
That's what I thought when I heard
it.
Here's
the deal.
He's saying he's clapping cheeks. He's effing somebody hard. He's screwing him over.
My son doesn't know that.
Are you sure?
There is. Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah. He has no clue what that actually means.
DJ, go ahead.
So before you go ahead and like use that on somebody, Casey, just make sure you're
you know what you're saying.
I'm still going to use it.
Good conversation.
I love it.
Uh-huh. How old is Seamus?
He's 12. And there is no way, if he actually knew what it meant.
Dad, I'm flicking the bean.
He would not be using that verbiage in front of me, my wife, my mother.
He heard the phrase and repeated the phrase. I remember calling my friends a dildo when I was, 12, 13 years old and having no idea what a dildo was.
Yeah, but
I
thought it was because 12, what grade is that?
He is in seventh grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows what, now he may not know what that means, but he knows, you know what I mean.
At least he knows about the birds, maybe not the bees.
Yeah. He knows a little bit about birds and bees and stuff like that, but when he's using that term at the dinner table, there's absolutely, I'm positive.
I think there's no way he
knows exactly what he's saying
To Nick's point, I remember saying things that I had no idea what they meant, but they were profane, and we've talked about this many times before. When you would say as a kid something sucked,
or
scum was always, scumbag was, a condom, and sucked meant what you would assume the likely progression would be.
Which I always found it funny because when who made in the WWE suck it?
Who was that? Is that John Cena?
I'm not sure, but suck it, that whole thing. I'm like, really? I mean, that means oral.
Yeah.
What that means. Yeah. And all the kids were saying it. So, they may not fully understand. So I know what you're saying, Casey. But that's hilarious.
It is.
I love that.
That's so hilarious.
Clapping cheeks.
People are texting in like crazy.
Apparently the consensus is that's the real meaning of it.
Well, okay. I'm changing it to I'm kicking ass.
Yeah. So why don't you say kicking ass?
Yeah. Because clapping cheeks sounds funny.
Why don't you say banging ass?
That's totally booty.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see. I got some other things.
Listen. I'm walking past my son going, yo, you clapping cheeks right now?
Oh, shoot. Oh, no.
Dad, I got him.
Just like you and Mom.
I got him spreading them, pounding away.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Right off.
Back to the Just Saying Institute.
That's from Better Off.
Yes, it is.
Okay. A scientific study has proven for a fact women are safer drivers than men. University of Westminster research looked at injury and traffic statistics, travel survey data, and population and gender figures from 2005 to 2015. They found that for cars and vans, the risk male drivers posed was double that of women per kilometer driven. The risk was four times higher for male truck drivers and more than 10 times higher for those on motorcycles.
Huh.
Overall, two-thirds of traffic deaths were associated with cars and taxis, but the data suggests other vehicles might be even more dangerous.
Where was this study conducted? Because you said kilometers.
University of Westminster, so I assume that's in England.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that there is a... There's collateral damage as a result of women being safer drivers.
I do believe that
their safety actually creates danger for other people.
So sometimes I think they're overly cautious people on the road that end up causing accidents.
Yeah.
Where they're just too cautious. And like a lot of times, and my wife and I have gotten into fights, sometimes I'll pull up to an intersection after someone has already pulled up to an intersection.
Yeah.
And they're waving you through because they're going to make a left or whatever. It's like, and I purposely ignore them. I'm like, because then you get into that game where you start to move and then they start to move. And it's like, just follow the rules
follow
of
the
road.
Whoever
and
got we'll there all first.
Be, you have the right of way.
Exactly.
Go.
Yeah.
But I would think that that's what this means. That it's just people that are following the rules, not overly cautious people that might be causing accidents, like people who are just reckless.
Yeah.
Typical woman.
But it is saying...
I'm gonna dive through my computer and strangle you, boy.
It is saying that that women are safer drivers per the numbers, per the statistics. So,
according to kilometers driven.
Yes, exactly. So the researchers suggest...
And they also drive on the left side.
Policymakers consider policies to increase gender balance in occupations that substantially involve driving, given the greater likelihood that other road users will be killed... if men rather than women are driving or riding.
They're looking at rules in London right now that will mandate you having at least one woman in the car when you go traveling.
No matter what. Interesting. Well, this kind of shoots off of that a little bit.
You're going to shoot?
I'm not going to shoot.
You just shot.
Can my announcer tell everybody that?
Preston's not going to shoot, but we return to the Just Saying Institute for more illuminating information.
The lockdown is having at least one good effect, and part of it does have to do with the traffic. NASA satellite data shows a 30% reduction in atmospheric nitrogen dioxide pollution in the northeastern U.S. NASA's Aura satellite measures the concentrations of atmospheric nitrogen oxide, which is mainly emitted from burning fossil fuels, and the generation of electricity, which is a good indicator of human activity. NASA writes on its website that the data indicate that the nitrogen dioxide levels in March 2020 are about 30% lower on average across the region of the I-95 corridor.
That's pretty cool.
From D.C. to Boston. Yep.
And they say there's also been a 30% increase in the amount of raging alcoholics.
There's a good and bad. Domestic violence is up, but yes, pollution is down.
That's a bad, yes.
D.C. to Boston. So then this was then with compared with March between 2015 and 2019. They also noted a drop in the nitrogen dioxide concentration over California earlier last week. And we had spoken to a couple of people out in L.A., and they were like, you can visibly see a difference there.
You can see the L.A. skyline.
And it's wild when you can't see, because I've been there when you've been there. Well,
when the smog hangs.
The smog is there. It's like, ridiculous. Wow, this is really weird. So they're seeing a disappearance of that. So that's pretty cool. Always looking for the positive.
That will go.
It'll go away.
I mean, but like how quickly? Will it be like immediately erased?
Yeah, pretty quick, I would imagine. All right. What else? How about
more from the Just Saying Institute?
We'll stay.
Located over 200 sprawling acres in West Virginia.
We'll stay.
Founded in 1928 by Dr. Gupta Sagweek.
Gupta Sagweek.
It sounds more. You're not going to be able to remember that one.
I don't know. We'll see.
I wanted to give it a sort of an international flavor.
So this key's a little bit off of the lockdown, the quarantine.
Yes.
Walmart CEO Doug McMillon says that people are starting to need a haircut. So you're starting to see more beard trimmers and hair color being sold. He said it's interesting to watch the dynamic play out. People have also started buying things like puzzles and games to pass time.
We've talked about this.
In isolation. And there's another story that I had that ties in. It's not from the JSI.
I wonder how many people are just taking a regular, their trimmers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I you think we'll see more crew cuts or more tight cuts?
Yeah.
Just because a trimmer can get it done easier?
I have clippers at my house, and I've been trying to talk my son into shaving each other's heads, you know, and he's just not having it right now.
I have, and what I hate when my hair, because I wear my hair a little bit long,
right.
not long, but I do have a full head of hair, when I get these little curly cues by the ear,
yeah,
and so I have clippers that I shave my beard with, that I trim my beard with, and I think about getting rid of those little curly cues, but I can't bring myself to cut my own hair because I'm going to mess it up. It's going to look stupid. And so I can't bring myself to do it, but I think I probably will end up doing it during this time frame.
You gonna, well, how is your how do you think your daughter would be at it? Or, you know, you wouldn't want to try that?
My hair, man.
You guys have heard that there are speakeasy like hair salons.
Well,
now?
Here, so I brought this up. Out of Kansas City, there's a story from a few, and I'm sure it echoes all around the country. But hairstylists are urging people to stop asking them to risk their license by cutting customers' hair because it's flat-out illegal right now. So here's out of Kansas City, Michelle Faris says, if I go to cut someone else's hair someplace that I'm not registered to do business at, it's breaking the law. So you're hearing of speakeasies of sorts?
Mm-hmm.
People do that anyway, you know? So
you're right.
I think that the people who have like their in-home salons are just booming right now because they can really do whatever they want.
Yeah, a person I used to go to had her salon in her condo, and it was a room set up just like that with the chair, the sink, yeah. all the stuff. Yeah. It was like you walked into a one-room hair salon.
So what's the story? I guess
maybe legally you can do that, but
I don't think you can unless it's considered a business.
Okay.
All right. So you can't. Yeah, you have to have some sort of certification to do that. Now, is the way to go just to go with something you know is illegal? For example, hire a hooker to come over and cut your hair.
Oh, you could do that.
That's a good idea. Or an assassin.
No, not down there, up here on top.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I mean, what is stopping me from... Listen, I'm friends with my hairstylist. What's stopping me from having her come over to my house and cutting my hair in my driveway or my back deck? Can I get in trouble for that?
Well, no, No, but you're asked. You're
right.
The ask
social
is
distancing.
That we, yes, social distancing,
and they're asking that you don't ask them because then they're feeling obligated because maybe you're a friend or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it illegal? Probably not. Is it irresponsible? Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's part of it. So you got to weigh those two things.
Jace keeps saying to me, he's like, why is my hair so long?
I'm really?
Like, the hair salons are closed, buddy.
Are you thinking about maybe at some point giving in and
buzzing
it?
No, because I buzzed his hair a couple of years ago and he cried. Wow. He thought it was the worst haircut in the world.
Do to all those arts and crafts?
It was bad. He cried and he said to me, don't ever do that again. And I said, okay, so he doesn't want to buzz it and I don't know how to do anything else other than that.
Well, my conundrum is that I occasionally get ass injections, to plump up my cheeks.
No, okay. What are you going
to
do?
Well, there's a woman I used to go to. She didn't have, she had like, it was in her apartment. And she would inject concrete into my ass.
Listen, but, when there is, when the restrictions are lifted, there is going to be an absolute boom in waxing and hair and nails and all of that grooming.
Right. Yeah. I'm wondering, though, statistically, and I wonder if there's data available for this, like in the city of Philadelphia, talking about prostitution and things of that nature. That was illegal to begin with, and you had to do that on the sly anyway.
Right.
So I wonder how that has been impacted.
Yeah.
You can't do the sidewalk pickup, but I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder where that stands right
now.
That's
a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've wondered how the opioid epidemic has fared during this whole thing because.
Think it might be harder to get?
I don't know how people are getting their pills, their heroin. Like
domestic violence has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
All that stuff, sadly, has skyrocketed. Suicide has, in some cities, has doubled.
Yeah.
However, I don't know how that would be affected because you're right. A lot of those deals are struck on street corners.
Yeah, I want to say, I thought I saw a headline. I didn't read the article, so don't take this, as Bible, but... but I thought I saw that it might be kind of cutting back on it a little bit, like Casey's indicating.
Well, for just general accessibility, right? Yeah. You'd have to take greater steps to acquire.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. Kathy?
Yeah, you guys mentioned the domestic violence issue and how it kind of is up because everybody's stuck in their house. And I actually talked to a woman from the Women's Center of Montgomery County, and she was saying that they're actually doing emergency placements. So, like, if there are people out there who are in this situation and, feel like they're in danger, they can actually call the Women's Center, and they'll put them in some sort of emergency housing.
Good. Good, good, good. So there is help out there. Don't feel that you are, you are somewhat trapped, but if you can reach out, do it.
You know what? Sorry, and one more thing. She also said that in times like these, the abusers, they're feeling just like the rest of us, like they're losing control of sorts. So with them, when they're in the home, that's when they try to...
Exert the control
yeah. over the women and, right. and the kids sometimes, too.
Nightmare.
Right, little less serious thing.
All right.
Going back to the hair, which is how we got started on this. I was telling Casey this the other day. I was going scrolling through some old photos just from a few weeks back, and I noticed one that I hadn't seen before. And I walk into my wife, Rochelle, and I go, what the F is this? So it was a shot of me. I was pouring something out of a pot. Carter was, we were making gherkins anyway. And so I'm pouring this brine out of a pot, and my head is leaned over, and the top of my head is facing towards the camera. There was a bald patch there. And I'm like, what the F is this?
Lean over.
It's on the top of my head.
I don't think you have a bald spot.
No, she goes, she was laughing. She goes, it's just the way your hair is lying there.
Yes.
You don't have a bald spot.
No.
She had to talk me down. She's like, it's just you have kind of a little, colic there in your hair.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I was telling Casey about the other. He's like, I have the same thing, man. I know what you're talking about.
I'm like,
I am too old to start losing my hair. People who lose their hair, they've already had it. It's broken in on them. That happened years ago.
Right.
Yeah, that happens in like your 20s.
Yeah.
If you're going to be the guy who is going bald, it's going to happen at a way younger age. Right?
I started thinning a little. I was Bruce Willis, Die Hard 1 in college a little bit, so that manageable. I've seen that time and time again, Preston, especially with the camera and the way the camera will highlight a spot.
Yes.
It's nothing.
I think it's from the headphones. I think it's because it's right where my headphones here sit. I don't think it's balding me. I just think it's pushed it down and moved the angle of the roots.
Of the hair, yeah. Of the way it grows, maybe. Yeah. Your dad has a full head of hair, right,
yes,
Preston?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I remember I went through this with my brother. My brother lived with me for a short period of time, and I had a mirror at my front door. And he came in one day, and he was like, "Kathy, get over here." And I was like, "What?" And he put his head down, same thing. He goes, What is this? Do you see this? What's up there?" And it was thinning out a little bit. And I was like, "Oh, it might be a little, but don't worry. It's not that bad."
And his hair did end up thinning, right?
It's okay, yeah. Baby. Yeah. It happens all the time. It happens to a lot of guys. It's okay. We'll try again.
That's exactly what you don't want a woman to say.
Oh, man.
A lot of guys have that.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Val, who is a hairstylist. Hey, Val, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You rock.
Thank you. And what did you want to share with us here, Val?
Hi. Yeah, I'm a hairstylist, and I've been doing people's hair. But, I gauge it on how public they are, you know. Are they running out and, you know, engaging with a lot of other people?
Yeah.
You know, and I wear my mask and stuff, but they're friends, and they need their hair done. They're stressing out, so you got to kind of, you know.
I think. Listen, as Nick said, you're asked. It's to be, you know, mindful of this and what we're being asked to do. But if it's someone that you're acutely aware of and you feel confident with, perhaps.
All due respect, they don't need to have their hair done. They want to have their hair.
Yeah,
done.
That's true.
I'm sure that it's difficult. So I'm not trying to presume anything. But like right now. That should be one of the things that kind of goes on the back burner, you know.
Because it's such close proximity. Yeah, it's such.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
They were looking kind of shaggy, so I get it.
We can't have shaggy looking people running around now.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you are Shaggy from Scooby Doo, and then it's totally acceptable.
Val probably needs some money too, but you know, yeah, you gotta.
Well, that's
listen.
The thing.
That's
too.
The bitch of it.
I was talking to Angela from Gravity Hair Salon, our friend who are former calendar girl, and she was like. We're just like, we're making no money. They're making money on like sales of products where they're doing like a drive up service and you can go and you can get your shampoos and stuff like that. Right. And so they get a commission on that. But she's like, that's it right now. You know, she has no money in, but they can't be doing hair on the outside. One, it's not legal. And two, they would probably lose their job if they did.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Shouldn't be doing that. You should not be.
But
doing
I felt,
that.
You know, I felt bad for her. I'm like,
I know.
She applied for unemployment, and you know, she said the check that she gets from unemployment is like, you know, a very small portion of what they actually make, and
that's
you know,
the conundrum.
And it's the whole staff; it's not just her.
Kathy was talking to Dr. Mike, you know, yesterday about this, and obviously we want to get through this, but to the point of millions of people out of work, millions of people in the service industries. And things of this nature where they're just going to get decimated. So the sooner we can start getting this stuff back online in a safe manner, that's it. Because my heart goes out to so many people. So there are people who will do things occasionally. I've seen this pop up. If you did have a stylist that you went to, if you like sort of can pre-tip them, you know,
right.
if you have the wherewithal to sort of pre-tip them or send them a check or something, you know, it's not a handout. It's in sort of a future investment in what you might pay them for future cuts, mm-hmm. just to get through this bridge area. And there are considerations for anything like that might help, you know?
Well, with this conversation, I was thinking now, I'm like, maybe, you know, we're not doing anything. We're not going anywhere. We're not really taking any pictures of the kids and stuff like that. So maybe I will grab a pair of scissors and see what I can do with Jace's hair.
There are videos that can instruct you. And honestly... Yeah.
With, like,
listen, Preston,
scissors.
I think you'd be cool with this if Angela needs a place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
honey.
Look.
Don't be thrown off. I know she's very pretty, but
she can sleep in my bed.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we probably have the same hours.
Right.
We'll
right.
do like a white line down the middle.
So, but some stylists are saying don't. Ask me to do it. Yeah. Yeah. So here's...
It puts them in a bad place, and I think it creates also a fear that when everything returns to normal, they'll have people who are pissed at them for not doing it, and they'll lose business.
Here's another woman in Kansas City. That's where I got this story out of a Kansas City newspaper. She said she posted a message on her Instagram because she owns a salon. She said, asking a hairstylist to do your hair right now when it's clearly prohibited is like asking a doctor friend to write you a random prescription for narcotics. I'm not going to lose my license or go to jail for you. Sorry. Please respect my profession and my career and know that I'd never ask the same of you. So that's one of those things that, you know, we didn't really consider going into this. So.
Well, listen, in the next few months, I'm supposed to get a colonoscopy, but I'm sure there's a YouTube video.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You know, right?
You can can make ends meet.
If my wife has a pen light and a melon bowler, can't she do the same thing?
Nick Murphy has a bunch of different kinds of cameras.
Yeah. There's got to be something we can find in there. All right. So anyhow, that's all we have time for in the Just Sayin' Institute. We have guests on the line shortly that we're going to talk to. Dennis Quaid is going to be joining us in a little while. And we also have a secret text word, your chance to win this morning. Three bottles of Stateside Vodka. So text the word secret to 39333, and we'll send that word to you. And then later we'll ask you to call in with that word, and we'll get a random text to you. So go ahead and do that. We'll take a break. Come back in a moment. Mr. Quaid on the program with us. Also, Bill Engvall will be joining us, too. Stay put. Be right back.
Monday nights at 9, join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for a kick-ass concert clip, a live performance, Metallica moment. In conjunction, Metallica is releasing an entire concert recording available for your streaming pleasure right here at WMMR.com. Rock's reigning kings with MMR's nighttime jester, Jackie Bam Bam, every Monday night at 9.
Hey.
So when dinner's done, break from the TV and rock your smart speaker. It's Metallica Mondays with 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We are going to skip the traffic report for now because our guest is on the line and ready to go. And we've talked to him a number of times.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he is.
We love all his stuff.
And he's trying his hand at podcasting, which is cool. And I like the name, The Denizens. The Denizens. Please welcome to our program this morning, Mr. Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis. Hey. Oh.
Hey, did we lose him?
Him now.
I don't know.
Dennis? Maybe he thinks he's interviewing us.
Who are we calling?
I don't know. Let's
did we win?
Let's find out. Dennis, are you there?
If you need assistance, dial the operator.
Wow, he's got a great voice.
Wait, he sounds like an operator.
He's doing voiceover now.
Okay. Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. Kathy, what's going on this morning?
We've got flooding on Airport Road in Newcastle, Delaware, between Commons Boulevard and 95. That is still out there. In Christiana, Route 1 southbound between 273 and 40, right lane construction. That's until 3 o'clock. Broad Street northbound at the Schuylkill, both the ramps there have been narrowed, so no trucks being allowed on the westbound ramp to the Schuylkill Expressway. In Pottstown, that accident cleared off of High Street between Arm and Hammer Boulevard and Pleasant View. Traffic was being directed around that, but that is now gone. On 295 at Thoroughfare Woodbury, exit 20, we've got right lane construction, and that is until 3 o'clock. And then don't forget Martin Luther King Drive. That's closed in both directions until further notice for recreational activities. Today is going to be a nice day, and I think it's like the last nice day for like three more days.
For 3 years.
Yeah. No, for 3 days. It's going to rain the next couple of days, so maybe you want to get out today. This traffic report brought to you by Acme. Acme is hiring for their stores and distribution center to serve the increasing needs of communities during this uncharted time. Looking for an opportunity? Go to acmemarkets.com/careers. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, so we're kind of in in-between zone here now. We're going to wait and see if they call us back. I don't know. It's obviously something went wrong with the phone line. If he, you know, we can start chatting about something else, but if he calls in during the middle of that, we will just kind of...
Let's pretend we already talk to him if he calls.
We could. What are you doing calling us again?
Dennis, yeah, you're great. Yeah.
All right. An interesting term that I had not heard of until just the other day ago. If you are finding yourself up late at night reading, you know, a lot of bad news, which there's plenty of about coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to... refer to it as, that now has a term if you find yourself diving deep into that stuff.
Besides effing dumb?
It's called droom scrolling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Los
That's
Angeles. Is that your mom?
Oh, my God.
Kathy, I love your mom to death. I would love to go over and physically drag her out into a field and have her sit there for a while away from the news sources because I know a lot of people that are doing this to themselves and it's just, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I know. And well,
Yes. Oh, okay. I gotcha.
No, it's just like, it's like the flow. Listen, we all, I had a bad day yesterday. I was really cranky. I think it was getting to me. And so, you know, now I have to call my mom today and listen to all the gloomy stories because I didn't have time for them last night. And I made that clear.
So it's a new, it's not a necessarily new term. It's been used before, but there's some other slang words that have popped up during the pandemic, including the Rona, which I use, Zoom bombing. Which, of course, when there are Zoom conferences.
Jumping into a Zoom conference.
And people, you know, doing inappropriate things. And there's a COVIDiot. We had mentioned that a while back at the very beginning. And a quarantini is another one. Instead of a martini, you have a quarantini.
We had a coworker here. I won't mention his name, and he knows who he is. But he came in, and he, every time he comes to talk, it was always like doom and gloom. And I said, I'd say, buddy,
yeah,
all you bring is bad news.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Give me something happy.
And text me who it is. I want to know who it is.
All right, I will. He apologized, though, and he was just getting overwhelmed. And I said, take a break from the news, my friend. He's a great guy, but I said, take a break from the news.
Yeah, you definitely need to do that.
Yeah.
Is our guest ready now? All right, we had an issue earlier, but no longer. And I hope he heard the setup because I'm not going to do it again.
It was awesome.
Please welcome Dennis Quaid
to
the show. Dennis, are you there now?
Hello, Philly.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Dennis. Good to hear from you once again, man. Hey, so
as you were giving my introduction, my phone was not charging last night. It just like went out. That was it.
All right. Well, we at least you got to hear that incredible introduction because we were very complimentary of your long career. And this is the next step, the Denissance.
This is it. Yeah, this is the next step in life.
All right, and
it's the only thing going on nowadays, except for your radio show too.
Right.
Well, to walk on a set, and it's a great time to start a podcast platform.
Well, and that's what I was curious about. Was this a little kernel thought that you had a while back, or was this inspired by the quarantine and all, and looking for something creative to do?
Well, my partner and I, Jared Gudstadt, we actually started Audio Up. A year ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's when he still had jingle pumps. And we had the number two music podcast last year called Bear and a Banjo.
Nice.
Just so happened that we did with T-Bone Burnett, Bob Dylan, Roseanne Arquette. And that was a great springboard for us to really just kind of broaden our ideas. And we want to be the YouTube of podcasts.
Well, I was reading an interview with you, and you brought up a show that I was familiar with called Tomorrow from years ago, so kind of like an interview, a really good show, and you, I guess, go ahead.
Yeah, I liken the Denissance, which is my first show to out of the gate with it. We do interviews, and I do interviews with people that I know, and it's called the Denissance. It sounds like a little funny, but I know because of being an actor, I've gotten to know quite a few people from quite a few different fields, and I think it's interesting to talk to these people to find out what is behind what we know about them. And so I'm talking to not just actors, but politicians and doctors. Baseball players, for people from all kinds of walks of life.
So from your career, and this makes sense to me, because as an actor, and I assume, I believe this is something I've read that you've done in your life, for example, when you were playing Gordon Cooper in The Right Stuff, you sort of build up interview chops, because you're naturally curious, you want to talk to them and find out things about them that might help inform your performance. And over the years, I assume you built up that muscle that allows you to engage somebody in conversation that way.
Yeah, it's sort of like being an actor is sort of like being a psychologist in a way. And you do your research, which is sort of like a journalist. And you do your research on somebody and you find out everything you can about them and you try to capture their essence. And there's a lot. You find out what makes them tick, in other words. And so that's the reason I generally like to have people on the interviews that don't have anything to sell at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really get behind who they are.
So we've been doing this for years, and I've said this many times, we shifted between doing a style of interview that was basically an interrogation to a conversation. And you're exactly right. When someone doesn't have, okay, I got to get this out, they start relaxing and they start bringing out things that are really interesting and engaging. And that makes something worth listening to.
Yeah, or it gets awkward. and different things start coming out, too. It's just whatever it is. Like, for instance, I did my good friend, Tanya Tucker, who I've known for over 40 years, the other day. And we just started talking, and then you forget that the mic is on.
Yeah.
And all these things that I found out about her, because I've never really asked her about her life on a kind of a linear timeline, and found out quite a few things that I myself didn't know.
She's having a great career resurgence. I remember her years and years ago, and people like that have accrued a lot of living. And I think at a certain point, Dennis, you reach a point where I think I want to talk about this now. They might have been reticent earlier on, but you reach a point where, you know?
You get over your give-a-damns, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
About life. You realize that you're a human being like everybody else, and all this stuff that you've been so worried about, like, keeping from everybody for who knows what, actually winds up relating to people, and, builds a bridge.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, I wanted to ask from your film career, because we were just having, before you came on, having a discussion about people that are maybe focusing in on the doom and gloom and the down stories right now. Maybe we need a break and some entertainment. Of your film career, if someone needed a nice, light, enjoyable thing to watch to take their minds away from your career, what would you recommend? What would be a film you would recommend they watch?
I guess that would have to be Caveman.
Caveman! I just watched it! I told Preston I just watched it yesterday. And
I love
for
that
people
movie.
Have not
with
seen
Ringo Starr.
Ringo!
Yeah.
And Shelley Long.
Yeah.
Ringo.
Hey, what?
Kind of a tutorial, because we're all going to be in the Stone Age in a couple of months anyway, right?
I love them. It is the perfect junk food movie. It has no desire but to make you laugh.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Interspace.
Yeah, because we were just talking about Interspace a couple of days ago.
It's really a good movie.
Yeah.
That is a good movie. It's constantly being rediscovered. In fact, Interspace is the number one movie in the world that people recognize me for.
Is that right?
I have been in Jaipur, India, and somebody has gone, "Oh, Interspace."
Dennis, there's a line from that movie that I've used for years, and it's, when times are at their darkest, it takes a brave man that can kick back and party. I will always hang on to that from Tuck Pendleton.
Reminding me of that.
It's a keeper, man.
I'm just realizing that you were in the last season of Goliath, and you were damn good in that, because you're such a likable person, and in that series, you're a total a-hole, and it's like 1,000% believable. But you were supposed to be. You were supposed to be. That was a great season.
Yeah, that really was a great season. In fact, I would recommend that to anybody who's looking around for something to binge.
Yeah.
I haven't quite seen it yet, although, it's a very popular show. Billy Bob Thornton is just, we've been pals for years, and we're looking around for something to work with, and this was the perfect vehicle for it.
Nice. Well, Dennis, before we wrap, who can we expect to hear on the Denisance podcast in the upcoming episodes?
We're starting out the season with Billy Ray Cyrus. He's really had a great couple of years, this past couple of years. And he's also, I'm really interested in second chances and comebacks.
Yes.
And things like that. And Billy really really epitomizes that, as well as Tanya Tucker as well. Also, Billy Bush, we've got an interview with him. He's another one who's had second chances.
Yeah.
John Carter Cash, Johnny Cash's son. And John really stands on his own with the House of Cash. A very interesting behind-the-scenes look. We did the that interview from the cabin studio.
Wow.
That, it's really quite something.
But we're looking forward to it. I love that whole idea of second chances in careers and how people build themselves back up. So we'll definitely look out for it.
It is called the Denisance podcast. Thanks, Dennis. Always great to talk to you, man. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks to you, man. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Dennis Quaid, guys. That's I can't believe you said caveman.
Yeah. Caveman! So we were just talking about it.
And I think last time we had him on, we talked briefly about it, too, about, you know, asking him how cool it was to hang out with Ringo for a few months, you know.
That's great. One thing that was a major, what's the word I'm looking for?
Falafel?
Falafel last week was banana bread. Banana bread. And we haven't touched on that with anybody
lately. All right, remind me to bring that back up.
Yeah.
And we'll see if people are still in the banana bread mode.
I saw a new one now that says it helps with depression during this.
Banana bread?
During this time, during this pandemic, everyone's stuck home. Apparently, a lot of people are, they're getting depressed a little bit. It's along the same lines, but I'm trying to pull it up. It's
tequila?
No, it's peanut butter bread.
Peanut butter bread.
Okay. Now, I have peanut butter toast, but and that's peanut butter on toast. But I've never had peanut butter bread.
Mind blower, right? I love peanut butter on toast because when you take it out and you butter, you put the peanut butter on the hot toast.
Kind of melts a little bit.
Awesome.
I had it for breakfast this morning.
Yes. I haven't had anything because we're here.
What's peanut butter bread?
I'm just looking at the ingredients. It's literally peanut butter bread. It's like you're making, instead of using the bananas, you're using peanut butter.
Ooh, what about peanut butter banana bread?
Okay.
It's like milk
peanut
soup.
Peanut butter banana bread.
Yes.
What's that?
Milk soup, where you just pour milk in a bowl.
Yeah.
Milk
soup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had
banana sandwich.
On Sunday, we ordered barbecue for dinner.
Wilson's. Yep.
Wilson's secret sauce.
Love those guys.
I asked for cornbread, so they gave me cornbread, and then they gave me sweet potato cornbread. Sweet mother of God.
I don't think I've ever heard sweet potato cornbread
before.
Oh,
my God.
When quarantine's over, someone's getting a handy.
Color me intrigued.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I will ever have regular cornbread again.
Okay, Nick.
So good, yeah.
Wait. I have a question and then a comment. What did you use? Like, what went with the sweet potato cornbread, Casey? Like, what did you have it with? Like, pulled pork or something?
Brisket. We had brisket.
Brisket.
Brisket, okay. Ribs, and turkey.
Wow, man. That sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you guys know that when it comes to bread making, because not only are people making banana bread, but they're just making regular bread, sourdough, or whatever right now, I kid you not, there's a yeast shortage. You can't find yeast anywhere.
Yeah.
So, like, there's this weird black market that has creeped up for people trying to get yeast.
Well, now, you can make beer bread without yeast.
Really?
Oh. Yes. Look up the recipe. So that is that one you can do.
It's all the ingredients. Like, everyone's baking, everyone's making bread, they're making cookies. And
My wife
made brownies the other night.
I was on the way home and asked if I needed to get anything. So, you know, swung by the store to make a stop. Rochelle needed powdered sugar, confectioner sugar.
Yeah.
Gone.
I know.
Well, I was surprised. I'm like, wow, okay.
It's like the same now with the toilet paper and the paper towels. It's like when they stock it, it immediately goes off the shelf and you can't find it.
Yeah. I've been cooking on the griddle and the air fryer a lot lately. I don't know if you guys have an air fryer or not.
We do.
Yeah. Usually
use it for just like heating up chicken nuggets or
french fries.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah, so we're doing that. I can't remember what I heated up the other day in it, but.
A cat.
It was, no. I killed my cat last week. Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Well, he had to go, man. He was sick. But, I'm trying to think. You ruined my train of thought, Steve.
Sick. Cat was sick, so we killed
him. My cat was sick, so I had to kill it.
It doesn't matter.
All right.
Stories with Matt Cowper. It was sick, and I killed it.
Speaking of the toilet paper, which is a story that's done and redone lately, but
by the way, I've had great. My wife, it's just the two of us.
Yeah,
right.
We can make it if we had a backlog of toilet paper and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but I walked into the store. It was a CBS. It was on Lancaster, and toilet paper.
But you saw Joe Bell's email last week, right, where he was offering to help people within the company get toilet paper if they needed. I mean, there are people at Beasley that aren't able to get toilet paper right now.
Yeah, it's weird. We had already stocked up, so we haven't had to buy one single roll of toilet paper. But Steve sent me an article as to why, what the whole idea was behind toilet paper. And by the way, we should look. It may be back in February. Mm-hmm. I had a story in the Bizarre File about China and people running out of toilet paper.
I remember that.
And it was well before. Before it all hit. Yep. And we were laughing at the fact that people were panic buying toilet paper in China, and look what happened. It ended up happening here. And a lot of it has to do with just word of mouth and panic, and that's all there is to it.
No other reason,
Yeah, so there was a, and this is a local study that was done. This is a, this is by Christina Hetrick, who I think is with the Inquirer. And she went to Deborah Small of Wharton, who's a Wharton psychologist, and Sobhuda Kumar is a Temple professor of supply chain management. And why the panic over toilet paper? Small said maybe there was one stock of toilet paper out somewhere, and then it hit the news, and it hit social media, and then it kind of spiraled out of control from there. People started hearing, oh, my gosh. Other people are overbuying toilet paper, and that means I might not be able to get what I needed. So when I go out shopping, they go out and they buy more of it. Then if everybody's doing that, then we have this stock out situation.
It's sort of a cascading effect.
And that's kind of, wasn't because there's of a nothing, real need for it.
No, yeah. It just was an arbitrary thing that flashed up, and there's, you know, and there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Because I guess if you think of the basic necessities beside food, you know we're going to be going to the bathroom, and what will we be in danger of if we run out of toilet paper?
Yeah.
You know?
And so, now, like, you are, it's really all about the timing of when you get to the market, whether it's a CVS or an Acme or a supermarket. Because I walked in. Listen, I'm trying to limit my visits to the supermarket, so I'm, you know, buying in bulk.
Yeah, you go buy as much as you can each visit.
I'm not overbuying, but the one day I went to the Acme 2 weeks ago, the guy was stocking the shelves with Clorox wipes as I was walking past that, and I'm like, okay, and that's the only time that's ever happened. Every single other time I've ever walked past an aisle that has, you know, Clorox wipes, it's always empty.
And that stuff you can't buy online. Like, you can't do the pre-order. I tried. Even on Amazon, you can't get it.
I was checking out. It was a couple of weeks ago, so it was, you know, I guess when the panic buying first started happening. And I wasn't buying toilet paper. I bought crescent rolls, you know, the tube of crescent rolls.
God, I love them.
And I'm checking out.
They're awesome.
And the guy at the counter looks at me and goes, "Where'd you get these?"
No way, really?
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. And I go, "I got them at the, you know, in the cold container where they keep these things."
"You wait right here."
And I said there were like two of them left, and he's like, "Oh, they won't be there when I'm done."
Aww.
I'm like, "You can't go buy them now." He's like, "No, we have to wait till we're off the shift." But he was like, "Where did you get those?"
Disappointed.
The guy working at the store asked me to
carry those.
I love it.
So somebody had texted in and said it was Australia that I was talking about. No, that was a different story where the newspaper had extra pages to wipe your ass with. Here you go. Marissa found it from the March 2nd Bizarre File podcast. Toilet paper rumor in Japan caused a nationwide shortage due to coronavirus. So,
do you know what's at a shortage, though? And you may want to buy up what you can. The stuff in the MMR Rock Shop.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, dude. I've heard.
Yep. I don't know if it's true.
And you can wipe your ass with a lot of that stuff.
Oh, that stuff is perfect for ass wiping.
There's also a shortage on Wim jewelry. It's a Kathy Romano collection.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's these $80 earrings. I think there's only a half of a pair left.
And all the edges of the jewelry are rounded, so they'll feel fine in your ass.
Nick?
Thanks,
I was going to ask if any of you guys have used Instacart with Acme yet. Because, Casey, when you order online, sometimes it depends on the time of day that you put the order in. And also it can depend on the time of day that the order is delivered to you. So if we used Instacart with Acme twice now, and if the delivery is going to come at a certain time of day, they'll start shopping in the morning, and you may get lucky if they come early enough in the morning because the shelves will still be stocked at that point, whereas in the afternoon or the evening, it's very likely that some of those things are going to be gone.
Talking about interesting things and how they're changing some policies, Kathy, so we had to – my mom is stuck in a rehab facility right now for – you know, she's got medical conditions, and so – communication is rough, and she's very, very lonely. So we decided to get this product, Nick, that you told me about called a Grand Pad. It's a tablet made for senior citizens. It's easy for them to use. So I called the company thinking they were going to mail that out, but they're really back ordered. They said just go to a Target if you can find a place that's open, and and you purchase it that way, and we'll help you set it up, and then you can send it off. I'm like, okay. So Rochelle went to Target for me and got it. I'd called Target ahead of time to see what was going on as far as shopping and so on. And
how
so,
you guys doing?
Yeah, how are you guys over there? So we were able to get it, but also the message that I got when I called over there is they've suspended all returns.
Oh, yeah, they did that a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, I wasn't aware. I'm not a returner, so yeah, I'm not in that world.
So what I've done is I've placed all of my returns in the corner of the room, and so I'll wait until everything opens back up.
Okay.
But I actually, so before they put that in place, I went, yeah, no, I haven't.
Do you have like a taped off section of the room?
Do me a favor. Take a picture.
Steve, I
take
will.
A picture of this corner.
Yeah. I will take a picture, but don't judge me. I like to order things and try them on.
I am judging.
If they don't fit, I return them. Why are there so many shoe boxes?
Well, quickly.
Yeah.
Have you tried the Amazon thing where you try it and then you send it back?
You know what, Steve? I did see that, and I have not tried it. And the reason being is because there's only specific items that go in there, and when I was looking at it, I couldn't find enough from that group of items to order and make it worth it. But yeah, so that's what, and I'm refusing to ship them back to return them because I shipped two things back, and they never got returned. I'm hoping that they still will, and it's just, you know, delayed because of everything that's happening. But
more
it's
than
been
likely,
like
yeah,
a couple of weeks, and I still haven't seen my return. So I'm just going to keep them, keep it all, and then return it.
I want to see a picture of this corner.
I'm surprised it's just a corner and not an entire room, Kath.
Well, you know what? I really am not going crazy there. I did buy a few pairs of shoes, which was a little out of control. And then I liked one pair, and I was like, ooh, I want another color. Anyway,
oh,
so
wonderful. You tell us too. I like that.
But listen, when I went before Target put that into place, I went in there and I had some stuff and I was like, are you guys still doing returns? And he was like, yeah, come on. And like the next day they stopped all returns. I kind of felt bad. I felt like it was unnecessary at that time. You know what I mean?
Can I just offload the 18-wheeler myself? Or you come pick it up?
They're changing, you know, some policies or have while now.
But they are saying if you do have stuff that needs to be returned, that once we get back to normal, and not just Target, a lot of stores are extending their return period so that people can get out.
Well, these are uncertain times.
These are uncertain.
They are.
What's a usual return period?
I mean, it depends on the store. A lot of them are 30 days. Some are 60. Target's really good. If you have the red card, it's a 90-day return. So, you know, most times you'll be fine.
Okay. So we're probably, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if it works properly, that I don't have to return it. And if I have to, then maybe I can do that. Let me see. Here's another thing, speaking about returning. A new survey found that nearly half of respondents still have trips planned for the second half of this year between June and December.
Huh.
I'm one of them. I have a trip planned in July for my daughter and I going to Zion Canyon.
I mean, that's besides getting there, you're going to. I don't know what this. I've described it as so you have a seesaw. And the weight of all the concerts and delayed things are going to now shift to one side.
Yep.
And it's all going to bunch up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I think normally I could say, all right, you're going out to a fairly rural area. But I don't know if everyone's just going to be biting at the bit.
Yeah.
And we'll head out there as well.
It's hard to say because there have been also some other research that's been done about the amount of people who will when things are loosened up as far as restrictions
go, right.
Whether people will return to, you know, gathering. Yeah, it says 20% of Americans would immediately go back to normal activities if the restrictions are lifted, which means the overwhelming majority out of this particular survey say that they are going to hold off and wait on stuff like that.
You're going to see that kind of rolling progression, whereas people feel more and more comfortable with things. That'll start to happen. But yeah, it'll be wild to see.
Yep.
I mentioned to you guys the other day that I had, I'm looking into canceling a flight that I have. So I do have a trip, and it was supposed to be for Memorial Day weekend. And I mean, I'm sure it's not happening, but I'm still like holding out hope, which is why I haven't yet canceled that flight. I'm like, maybe
a
domestic flight.
We were going to Nashville for my friend's bachelorette party.
I've got flights. I've got reservations at a few different places because we're going to travel around on this particular trip. We got car reservations, all kinds of stuff. What?
Kathy wants to meet back up with that black guy in the
in Nashville. Yeah.
No way.
What did he say to you?
I want you, girl.
Oh, my God.
That was it. And you laughed and you're like, did you say that?
I yelled because he scared me. And then he looked at me like I was insane and kind of like ran away from me.
You know what? I don't want you.
Did you see? Zion finally is one of the parks that is also closed. So I would think that by July, Zion will reopen. I think most of the national parks will sort of reopen before maybe other things start to do so. But Zion is closed right now as well.
But Nick, it just breaks my heart when you see the footage of the animals getting on the buses.
Yeah, they got to get out of there.
They closed it down.
But what I'm curious about is being able to get, you know, proper refunds on deposits and things like that. And and at what point is it, you know, I don't know when this is all going to, everything's going to be viable. When do I need to pull that? You know,
I lost air travel money. I got my hotel money. I was supposed to go see my dad. Yeah. My dad is 94. And right when everything started to roll with the NBA and everything going down, my dad, we basically virtually called each other at the same time and said, we can't risk this. But I lost the air travel. I was able to recoup the hotel. But, I'm sure a lot of people are eating a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. You can still fly right now, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, Nick?
Yeah. Steve, speaking of the animals, did you see what's going on in Yosemite right now?
No.
So Yosemite's also closed. So all of the areas that are like pretty crowded within the valley, like near the popular tourist spots and the hotels and whatever, there's nobody there. So all of the animals that would normally stay up in the highlands have
They're
all come
down.
Out. So like there's literally, yeah. So bears and the cubs are emerging and coyotes, and it's like it turned into a safari park.
It is
because
that
there's no people there at all.
It's that scene in I Am Legend. You know, where you're downtown, you're in Times Square, and there are deer running around.
Yep. The nature is starting to reclaim some of this stuff. Yeah. There's cougar sightings are happening
that's
more
right.
often. Yes, that's right.
There Where goes can one. I buy cigarettes?
There goes one right there. cougars and coyotes and stuff.
There are so many things that are like, I mean, obviously because travel is not recommended right now, but like you can get flights. And I'm talking about like when you're sort of projecting that things are going to be a little bit better, maybe in the middle towards the end of the summer. And you can get like flights to L.A., for less than $100
round trip. Casey, you're going to see some extraordinarily competitive pricing.
Yeah.
Because they've got to.
There was a texter who texted us last week, Casey, and he bought a listener of the show, runs a tow truck business, and he found a tow truck for sale in L.A. and wanted to go out and buy it for his business. So he bought a one-way ticket, Philly, direct to L.A. for $28.
Oh, my God. Damn,
and he's driving the tow truck back across the country.
And Nick, that was a cockpit seat.
Wow.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Actually, flew the plane.
I've been stalking. I did that rafting trip through the Grand Canyon down the Colorado River, and it was an expensive trip. And I've been stalking that that company just to see if their prices go down, because that's just sort of the trend. That the prices are going down in places.
Also really cheap right now and require less inner tube trips down the Schuylkill. Right?
Yeah.
Unbelievably cheap.
So in this inner article or the survey that was done, the respondents didn't say whether they intended to actually take the trips that they have booked that are between June and December. The online survey from Dollar Flight Club, which alerts subscribers to cheap domestic and international flights, got responses from 20,000 members, 93% of them American, and they were also asked if they'd feel comfortable traveling internationally over the next 6 months if restrictions are lifted. 61% said yes, 39% said no. Asked about travel this summer over Christmas and New Year's, nearly 41% said they'd only feel comfortable traveling domestically.
So I think an industry that is going to be decimated for a while is going to be the cruise industry.
Yeah.
Now, you know what?
No.
Hang on. Where did I see this?
You have some data?
You would think so, Steve.
Right, yeah.
And I thought the same thing as well, but apparently it's up.
Is it in the files of the Just
Cruises?
Here you go. Despite the recent troubles cruise lines have been facing, experts say bookings for cruise sailings in 2021 are up considerably.
Hey, wow.
Compared with pre-coronavirus data. In the last 45 days, the cruise booking site CruiseComplete.com has seen a 40% increase in bookings for 2021 compared with 2019.
So I wonder if that is in line. Well, that's speculation, A. And then B, if it's the... You know, it's there's going to be more precautions and safer to travel because there's going to be higher levels of scrutiny.
Steve, that might be part of it, but so a friend of mine is getting married in Antigua, and we were looking to book a trip there, and, you know, this all started to go down. So he said, hey, hold off, you know, don't book the trip. The wedding is supposed to be in October. And what his travel agent said was that she said, you know what, go ahead and tell them to book, because their prices were skyrocketing because people are rescheduling their trips that were canceled.
So just get it on the books for the lower price.
But that's why the prices were going up. So I'm wondering if it's the same thing with the cruise ships here, that they are still getting booked because all these cruises that were canceled, they're these people who maybe didn't get a refund, but, you know, are able to rebook their trip.
It says they report that only 11% of the bookings are from trips that were canceled this year.
Oh, okay.
Both the UBS and AAA confirmed the increase in cruise bookings.
Can they move that wedding from Antigua to Andorra, Kathy?
I don't want to go to Andorra.
Yeah, I find that surprising, but you know, then again, things like that kind of happen, I guess, when you
we are in as they say, uncertain times. So how everything is going to shake out, it remains to be seen.
Exactly.
Interesting. So.
Yep, we'll keep an eye on it, and I'll try to report.
Tune to us for semi-accurate information.
Yes, we will have all the semi-accurate information you need and
all
more.
Of our opinions.
Yes, yep, yes.
And all of our opinions.
Yes.
Our next guest is on the line, ready to go, co-starring as a returning character on Last Man Standing.
He's great.
He'll be on tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Fox. We've had him on before. Please welcome Mr. Bill Engvall to the show. Good morning, Bill.
How are you guys? Yeah, it was funny. I was listening to you giving semi-accurate facts.
It's what we do best, Bill.
Well, that's always my favorite thing is, like, when you hear news people say, well, details are sketchy. No, they're not. Details are exact.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
We just don't know them. Oh, my gosh.
It's a wonderful point. Well, it's like...
I really want to do this. I may try to film this. I may do like a mockumentary of a news station that just makes up news. Just nothing to back it up. Martians have landed in Panama, and the governor has made them citizens.
You know what phrase, though, we talked about the phrase that's getting used all the time is in these uncertain times. And I've said to him, when are times ever certain? When do we know exactly how things are going to play out?
Well, you know, listen, gang, if this is the end of the world, so we might as well just smile.
Because
I read a thing the other day. First off, here's how you know it's the end of the world.
Okay.
The fact that people are hoarding toilet paper.
Yeah, we were just talking about this, yeah.
And by the way, let's just throw it out there to my great fans there in Philly. Not one symptom. I don't care if you went to the wet market where the crazy bad eating person started this thing. Never had diarrhea. You don't need the toilet paper.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Okay?
If a guy held up a truck at gunpoint to get toilet paper, so now he's in prison and having to use one ply, which everybody knows sucks.
Oh.
And the second reason you know it's the end of the world is because I actually sat through all 9 episodes of The Tiger King.
So this has been a big, big topic here.
Yeah.
It has taken the country by storm.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Please.
The guy's crazy. We know that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
But the crazier point of this, the whole thing I took away from this, he ran for the governor of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he got 19% of the vote.
Yes, he did, Bill. It's just...
What was it?
It means, my friend,
yes,
that 1 out of 5 people in Oklahoma said to themselves, you know who could really run this?
Oh, my God.
What was the number on his presidential bid? Did he ever make it to a prize?
I don't know.
You know what? Everybody... jokes about Trump being crazy, but even Trump draws the line at dressing like a priest and wearing a cowboy.
Oh my God! It was compelling programming, though, was it not, Bill?
It was. You know what? It was like when you're driving down the freeway and you see a horrible car crash and you know you shouldn't look.
Yep.
But you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you take a good close look.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. Carol Baskin,
yeah.
There's another one that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Who knew that there was a somebody sent me one of those memes, which, by the way, one of the things that's come out of this whole COVID thing, I've realized, is there's a ton of really funny people out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I pray to God they never decide to be comedians, because I'll be out of a job.
There's a lot of creativity.
Somebody sent me one that said it's 100% true, 100% fact that Carol Baskin's husband makes love with his socks on.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's wonderful.
We were amazed that you had the case of the guy who marries Joe. And I think both guys claiming that they were not gay?
How about the guy that did 9 episodes with his shirt off and his one tooth showing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, my God.
And he was the ex-husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? When they asked him why he did the show with his shirt off, he said it was because of the tattoos. He's like, I have artwork. I wanted to show it.
Oh my
so
God.
It wasn't even like Netflix made him or asked him to do it. He wanted to.
I love how
I couldn't get below his chin.
Seriously, you're right.
The teeth.
He gets a tattoo to cover over his love statement to Joe Exotic, and it doesn't even cover it over fully.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. It's just
worse. But I wonder is, you think these guys' parents were at home watching this, and they just look at each other and go, well, at least he's working.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you did the blue collar comedy tour for a long time. That was like, that was NPR level for these guys.
Oh,
right. I mean, we love the Jeff Foxworthy stuff and your stuff and the good the blue collar stuff. I've always enjoyed it. Yeah. This is a level I don't think a lot of people realized this was going on in this country, Bill.
Well, first off, don't ever do that again when I'm drinking coffee. No, Will, you're right. Compared to the Tiger King, we look like Harvard cops. What I love is the fact that he talks like this, but he sings like this.
Oh, my God. And I didn't put two and two together until the whole thing was over. And I'm like, this guy's actually got a good voice. I fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
All I want is a copy of Here, Kitty, Kitty.
Oh, my God. That's the best. Hey, Bill, I know we're loving talking about Tiger King, but obviously
But we should talk about the Tim Allen show.
Last Man Standing. How far back do you and Tim go? Do you go way back?
Oh, back. Yeah, back at the club. I love Tim. He's a genuine dude, and I love when I get the call to work on the show. And also Nancy Travis, who plays his wife, played my wife on my show.
We love her.
And she's the best. I'm telling you something. Everything she's a part of becomes better because she's there.
I believe it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the show is, I'm so glad it got a second wind to it, and the fan response brought it back, because it's much more a sharp written comedy than a lot of people, I think, would give it credit for. You know, I mean, the dialogue, the ensemble, everything is a lot wittier, and it's good to have it back on. So you're explain who your character is. You're a reoccurring character.
I started in 2016 with this character called Reverend Paul, and it's just, I've got to play a lot of roles in my TV, but there's always that one role that kind of just speaks to you, and this was the role, and it just kind of, Tim and I meshed at it, and it's nice because in the show, Reverend Paul's really the only person that can call Mike Baxter out, you know. I don't know if it's because it's his priest or whatever, but I got to tell you, for me, aside from the acting part, the best part's in between takes, because it's just a joke. You know, we road stories. One time I had Jay Leno was a guest star along with me.
Yeah.
And it was just the three of us just telling road stories. And I was sitting there thinking, God, I wish I was taping this, because it's just some gold, you know, that nobody will ever hear.
I mean, so years. I mean, the show is going strong, and obviously you have the stand up as well, which is a part of the deal. But you've done so many. You've done, going back to your history, you've done a number of sitcoms. I mean, like The Golden Palace. You were on that. I think the Delta Burke show. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're going way back.
Yeah, the Jeff Foxworthy show. So, obviously, and Preston always says this, when you can nail a sitcom that's got some legs, that's like the closest for a comedian to get a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah. And it's also, you know, for comedians, to end up with your name on a show is the Holy Grail.
Right.
I mean, that was, you pretty much maxed out at that. And so, yeah, I was so happy. I was honored to have my own show. And it's also, it's been fun to be a part of a lot of other shows, you know. My dream would be if I could get, if the Tim and the guys would call me and say, look, we're going to give you 10 out of 13, on our last season. I don't know how many short stories you can write about with the preacher in it.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's, you know what, I'm just grateful and thankful for, the opportunities I've had with TV, and it's been fun, and I love acting. It's always fun to crawl in the skin of another character and try to bring it to life.
Nice. Well, listen, we're fans, Bill. We'll be watching tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Fox. It's Last Man.
Thanks for the laughs, guys.
You bet, bud. Thank you for the laughs.
Yeah.
All right, Bill Engvall, guys. Yay! Take care, bud. We'll see you soon. I love it.
Those guys are good. All those guys are, seasoned, you know, like all like Ron White. And we had Larry the Cable Guy on.
He called back.
It was one of those, like, you can't even script something that weird. He goes through the whole thing, and we're loving talking to him. He's in character. He's doing his thing. And the interview wraps up, and we get a call back, and Casey calls back, and what does he say?
He just goes, hey, listen, I forgot to tell y'all something. Get her done. Because he didn't say it.
He didn't say it.
While we were on there, he made the call back. Get her done. He just, like, yelled it into the phone. It was very, very funny.
He wanted to make sure he delivered.
And I remember I had tweeted something about him, and I didn't even add him. Okay, yeah. So I tweeted that Larry the Cable Guy looks like a fat Brett Favre. And I didn't add him because that's just something mean to say to somebody's face. It's something that you say behind his back. And so I did. And apparently somebody had found it, and I was watching, what was it?
Was it Leno?
No. It was like a golf. It might have been like something like a celebrity pro-am golf thing. And they had celebrities reading mean tweets. Yeah. And he read my mean tweet about him, and I'm like, oh man, he wasn't supposed to see that. You know, I felt terrible about it, but
well obviously he's
I hope we get a chance to talk to him sometime and you can tell him you were the one, because I think he'd actually get a kick out of
but
that.
He does. I mean, if you were to take Brett Favre and Larry the Cable Guy and put them side by side, they kind of look exactly like each other.
All right, we got a break. I want to do it now because we got to make sure we're on time for our opportunity to have you grab an extra $500. It is with MMR's Rock Refund. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. Bizarre File stories coming up as well. So stay close.
While we wait and wait for live concerts to return, MMR is raiding the video wing of the MM Archives to present MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. The best up-close and personal performances and interviews from the Preston and Steve studio.
Great song. It's the Struts on 93.3 WMMR.
Pierre presents from Ardmore Music Hall.
Tell them the name of the song.
Wish I Knew You, if you didn't know.
And Studio 4F.
Joining us in studio, Mr. Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
How you doing?
Updated twice weekly at WMMR.com and stream directly to the best seat in the house, your couch. MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
In just a moment, we have another shot at you winning some money, which I know would be very, very nice. So I want to make sure you stick through the Bizarre File because we have the Rock Refund coming up.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A news release today from the Coronado National Forest. Encouraging visitors to avoid crowded areas included a disturbing imagery. They're asking you to not deposit your solid waste outside of the surrounding restrooms.
Oh, you
people
should.
People are leaving their poop.
And not going inside.
Because the restrooms are closed. So they're just pooping right outside the restroom. I'll just do it right here.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
In the news release, they said, if necessary, bury human waste at least 6 to 8 inches deep and 200 feet away from water, trails, and recreation sites to prevent health hazards.
Or do what I do. I carry a briefcase.
You could do that, too. Visitors are encouraged to make a pit stop before heading into the forest or after they leave. Most of Coronado is open still. Many day-use sites, restrooms, and other developed recreation facilities are either closed or offer reduced services. So make sure that you don't poop right next to the bathroom.
Come on.
Yeah. A Williamsport man intentionally crashed his truck, got naked, threw his dog against the ground, knocked on the door of a nearby residence, and punched the homeowner in the face. Police said Benjamin Missigman admitted to smoking marijuana before intentionally crashing his truck.
What kind of marijuana?
I don't know. After the crash, he stripped naked, knocked on the door of a nearby residence. Missigman stated that he got naked and saw the residence had a green-colored light, and he knew that that meant the homeowner was a veteran, so he went there for help. The homeowners answered the door to a naked Missigman.
I fought in the war for this.
Who reportedly told them that he crashed his truck and then killed his dog, which he didn't.
Oh, thank God.
By slamming it off the pavement prior to coming here. That was his quote. Police later determined that Missigman's dog had survived the incident. One of the homeowners went to call 911 for help while the other remained on the porch with him. The homeowner stated that while he was outside with the naked male, he had an up-and-down attitude.
You mean his penis?
And ended up getting very agitated and punching him in the face with a closed fist.
Mm.
Throughout the ordeal, Missigman reportedly believed himself to be in Dubois Town, although he was not there.
This isn't Dubois Town.
A blood draw revealed him to be under the influence of marijuana. While waiting for the ambulance, police said that Missigman's dog walked up to them. And Missigman's truck revealed a small amount of suspected marijuana in a metal BB container.
All right.
What a life.
There's all kinds of weird.
Would angel dust do that to someone?
Yes. It doesn't sound like standard marijuana, but that's
not what that I've ever heard.
Maybe he was an idiot, too. All right, and we'll do one more story and then wrap it up because I want to be on time for our giveaway. A Florida man is accused of killing his estranged wife and tried to cover up her disappearance by claiming she was on her deathbed from coronavirus. It's kind of a hard one to make up. So yeah. Friends only suspected Gretchen Anthony could be in trouble after getting baffling text messages in late March claiming that she was being held with an acute case of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter, Florida cops soon proved that she had not been treated locally or made any insurance claims for treatment. Officers soon focused on her 48-year-old husband, David Anthony, who had separated from her in February and whose vocabulary seemed to match the coronavirus messages that were sent. A neighbor at the couple's home told officers she had heard a scream and then a woman pleading, "No, no, it hurts." The husband was eventually found in Las Cruces, New Mexico, 10 days after he allegedly killed his wife. He was charged with second-degree murder and kidnapping. He's being held awaiting extradition. Her body has not yet been found.
What a psycho.
I mean, completely, yeah. All right, and should we end with a lighter one?
Do you have time?
I got time.
Yeah.
A man is apparently upset after his girlfriend buried his beans, his canned beans. The account of what happened has been seen on Twitter. It may have originally been posted on Reddit. According to the post, the author bought 30 cans of beans and 15 cans of chickpeas in preparation for the coronavirus lockdown.
Well, now there's a huge beanstalk in our backyard.
The story goes that one night he was making chili and discovered his beans were missing.
Where are my beans?
He says his girlfriend told him she buried the beans in the woods with the intention of saving them for if things get bad. Apparently, the argument escalated.
Things just got bad.
The couple stopped speaking to each other, and their story has garnered thousands of responses.
So she was trying to be like a prepper.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Bury the beans.
Bury the beans.
And that is what I have in the Bizarre File. Let's do it.
93.3 WMMR. Now, your rock refund keyword.
All right. The word is sweet. All right.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Sweet. Sweet.
That's one.
Sweet. Sweet.
S-W-E-E-T, sweet. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do that, I'll remind you. You can do it via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it on the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. That person will get a call from our company, Beasley. So be sure to answer your phone, and the contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It's sponsored by A&T Subaru and Chevy in Sellersville. Seven chances to win, all right? This is only your second one of the day, so keep that in mind. Good luck to you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Lesson, question, trash, music news. Those things are coming up next.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wednesday morning. Wednesdays mean a secret text word, so normally we would have got a winner. I didn't think about that ahead of time. We'll move that along. We'll do it in a little while. We have some other things to give away before that. And the next thing we're going to do comes in the form of today's lesson question. We are going to give away a digital download of Doolittle, starring Robert Downey Jr.
It's a cute movie.
And the question, I think I'm going to go back to the 6 o'clock hour because I like this one a lot. For Jane Goodall and Prince Harry, which spot comes after the G spot? 215-263-WMMR. Remember, it comes after the G spot. Which spot is that for Jane Goodall and Prince Harry? 215-263-WMMR, our number if you were listening. Hopefully you know the answer and you should call in, and we're going to do the trash while you're doing that.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you by Gwen and Mercy. For decades, Gwen and Mercy University graduates have helped make the world a better place. Teachers, police officers, business leaders, nurses, and other compassionate care professionals. They put the mercy in G Mercy U. What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Justin Bieber killing quarantine time by posting Instagram tasteful pictures of his wife Haley naked in a bathtub. Bieber says if the pictures get a good response, he'll reveal even more on his new website, justinboner.com.
Justin Boner.
Joy of the K-pop girl group Red Velvet, I'm sure we're all huge fans, recently opened up to Allure about how she maintains her youthful complexion, Preston. Joy starts with a double cleanse, followed by a moisturizing mask, a mild exfoliant, and then she finishes off with being 20 years old.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And finally, TikTok stars Charli D'Amelio and Chase Hudson have officially confirmed that they have broken up. The news came as no shock to anyone because no one cares. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll go to the phones, see if somebody knows the answer to this. What, according to Jane Goodall and Prince Harry, which spot comes after the G spot? And I will go to Eileen. Hello there, Eileen.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Eileen. Do me a favor and tell me what comes after the G spot.
That would be the H spot.
The H spot. Absolutely correct, Eileen. Hang on. Because for you, we have a digital download of Doolittle, starring Robert Downey Jr. in the hilarious new reimagining of a classic tale about the man who could talk to animals. Embark on an epic journey and bring home the movie that all the animals are talking about, available now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. We're now getting into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we're going to start with this. Bruce Springsteen, John Bon Jovi, Tony Bennett, Danny DeVito, Whoopi Goldberg, John Stewart, and a host of others are going to participate on the 22nd, which is a Wednesday, on the multimedia Jersey for Jersey fundraiser. Other performers already committed to the in-home special are Chelsea Handler, Halsey, Charlie Puth, a couple of people I don't know.
Syed Alan Kong.
Well, it's S-Z-A or SZA. And Saquon Barkley.
Well, Saquon Barkley plays for the Giants. I believe maybe he's from Jersey. I don't know. But, I mean, the Giants play in New Jersey, so.
And Nell Bug Eater, who lives in the woods.
Nell Bug Eater. I didn't know that was her last
name.
Yeah,
Bug Eater.
Rolling Stone posted the one-night broadcast will benefit the Garden State's fight against coronavirus pandemic. It'll air at 7 p.m., and locally you'll be able to see it on WPBI, 6ABC.
Well, that's cool. So everyone's going to be in the various homes, right?
Yes.
And various recording venues.
I believe so.
I'll be in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
City by the Bay.
That's right.
Knee-deep in crap. Loving every minute of it.
Plenty of it there.
Absolutely.
Tammy Murphy, New Jersey's first lady, said in the show's announcement, New Jersey is on the front lines of this pandemic, making it more important than ever for us to do what Jersey does best, take care of one another. And that's why we're asking everyone in our state to join the NJPRF and some New Jersey's finest for much-needed musical entertainment, levity, and Jersey pride during these unprecedented times. Ozzy Osbourne is donating 10% of the profits from sales of his tour merchandise to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. The organization is dedicated to finding a cure for Parkinson's disease, as well as developing improved therapies for those living with the disease. A message on Ozzy's Twitter feed read, past tours, exclusive merch, last bits of remaining stock available until sold out. April is Parkinson's Awareness Month, so 10% of all sales going directly to the Michael J. Fox Org for Parkinson's Research.
And Ozzy has a version of Parkinson's, correct?
Yes, he does, yeah. So he was actually diagnosed 15 years ago with Parkinson's syndrome, so... he is giving back. Five Finger Death Punch guitarist Zoltan Bathory visited state troopers with the Nevada Highway Patrol in Vegas last Friday. He went to show his support 2 weeks after Trooper Sergeant Ben Jenkins was murdered while assisting a stranded motorist in Ely, Nevada.
Yeah, I read about this.
Bathory, a major supporter of local and national law enforcement, frequently visits police departments to talk with officers and discuss various topics affecting law enforcement.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, he is a regular supporter of Nevada's Injured Police Officers Fund. Bush singer Gavin Rossdale opened up in an interview about the difficulties of co-parenting children of divorce during the coronavirus pandemic.
He says a banana bread got him through.
I wouldn't doubt it. I think Gwen, his ex-wife, sings B-A-N-A-N-N-A.
Does she do?
In a song.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Bread.
Did I put too many N's in?
I don't know what you
B-A-N-A-N-A.
said.
Bread.
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 You added a nah.
Ah, damn it.
Banana.
Rossdale said his three sons with ex-wife Gwen are splitting their time between L.A., where he lives, and Oklahoma, where Stefani resides with her boyfriend Blake Shelton at his ranch. He said in an interview, I did the first 2 weeks with them, then they went to Oklahoma. I think it's okay for now, but it's a real big dilemma for parents and kids split custody. He added that he's mindful of whom he interacts with and that he hadn't seen his sons in 10 days, which is unusual because he normally sees him around every 5 days or so.
What about the daughter he has?
The couple tied the knot in 2002 after 6 years of dating. She filed for divorce in 2015, and their sons are Kingston, Zuma, and Apollo, by the way.
Bread.
Tom DeLonge, Angels and Airwaves, appears to be teasing the imminent release of new music. The band posted a 15-second instrumental and accompanying visual depicting an arm rising in silhouette on its social media accounts with the caption stating Thursday. The group shared two singles last year and has reportedly been at work on a new LP. Liam Gallagher, Arctic Monkeys, and Bring Me the Horizon are among the artists who have donated items to a new raffle raising funds for the National Health Service workers in England. The NHS campaign has been established by Gallagher's tour manager to benefit frontline staff during the COVID-19 pandemic. Among the items up for auction are signed sneakers, clothing and instruments, tickets, and future shows and more. Paul Stanley had some choice words regarding the state of American news outlets. The Star Man appeared on Richard Marx's online social news outlet.
Richard Marx, the
Social distancing talk show. Okay. Yeah, Richard Marx, the singer.
All right.
And spoke candidly about the palpable division between Americans in this day and age. He said, I have to say, at the root of it, this divisiveness in our country, I really believe, unfortunately, the 24-hour news cycle has a lot to do with it. When I was growing up, we basically had the 11 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news. And you didn't know what Walter Cronkite of CBS thought. You didn't know who he voted for. When Chet Huntley, David Brinkley were on NBC, you didn't know what their views were. What we have now is kind of a 24-hour game show news. And you have two major divided networks that basically are pushing the agenda of the party that they're closest to. So an interesting perspective.
He's
kind of
right. What did Paul Richard Marx say? Or was he just playing the piano?
He was just playing the piano in the background. Yeah. So,
but are you listening to me or what?
I don't know.
I hear you. You good points.
Yeah. And then one last thing, and this is unfortunate news. And I was not familiar with this gentleman, but apparently he was a big deal in the world of jazz music and a Philadelphia native. I assume his name is pronounced Jaime, J-Y-M-I-E, or it might be Jamie. I'm not sure. Merritt was 93 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the name, and it didn't ring a bell, and yet he was a major musician.
Yeah, he was a bassist and composer who played with Art Blakey, Lee Morgan, John Coltrane, Dizzy Gillespie, B.B. King, and many others in a career that spanned 7 decades. He passed away. His son, Mike, who is also a bass player, said his father died at his home in Center City on Friday, April 10th. The cause was liver cancer. Because Mr. Merritt was best known for accompanying famous jazz men and anchoring legendary bands, he didn't achieve the wide fame accorded to some of his fellow musicians. But the West Philadelphia native, whose compositions Absolutions and Nomo were recorded by Max Roach, legendary drummer.
Huge, yeah.
And others, was held in the highest esteem by his colleagues. So I thought that was, worth pointing out that he had passed.
Absolutely.
And Steve sent that information to me, yeah. So there you go. That's what I have in music news for you this morning. Yes, Kate.
Just a programming note. I can't believe I fumbled on this one. It's a football reference. But Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants is actually from Pennsylvania.
Oh.
He's from, like, the Lehigh Valley.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
But he probably has ties to New Jersey somehow or another.
And San Francisco.
That too, yeah.
I think because they play in New Jersey, that's his only really tie there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Kathy, give me a secret. I want you to think about this number.
Okay, I'm going to
give me a secret text number caller, please.
I'm going to go with caller 27.
Wow, going way up there. Connor's going
to
love that.
Putting Connor to work. Sorry, Connor. I try to help you out, but they give me a hard time.
215-263-WMMR is the number. We are going to take a break, so call in now. Let's see if you know the secret text word. And we'll get back and get ready to wrap things up in just a moment or two. Stay with us.
Back in the olden days, about 5 years ago, your only options to keep listening to WMMR when you got home would be to drive your car into your living room or turn on something called a radio. But now, through modern technology, the smart speaker that's secretly collecting data on you...
What did you say?
...can also stream WMMR. Just tell Alexa or Google to open MMR, and magically we'll come streaming into your home. Plus, it may help distract your device from becoming self-aware. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Wednesdays are great. We do a lot of things on Wednesdays, like going on Fox 29, which we did earlier this morning.
For some awkward
conversations. Yeah, it was a little bit awkward. I don't know what was going on there, but
I think there were technical issues that were going on. I think you're right. They're hearing things in their earpieces, and
but even
it's crazy.
Even the awkward stuff is fun.
Yeah.
And we also do a secret text word, and that's what I'm fishing for now. We were looking for caller number 27, according to Kathy, and that's Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Brooklyn.
Hey, what? Brian, what's our secret text word?
Secret.
Yes! 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 Look at what you guys did. I don't know that we've ever done that before. All right, Brian, we got 3 bottles of vodka for you from Stateside Vodka. All right, my man?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet. Hang on the line. We're also going to set up Adam Finnegan of Woodsbury, New Jersey, because that is the random texture that we grabbed. And don't forget that Stateside Vodka, Philly's hometown distillery, is now delivering right to your home, available through throughout Philadelphia.
They're awesome.
And the PA suburbs. You can visit statesidevodka.com for details. Wouldn't that be great if that sticks around after this is all over? Home booze delivery.
I have to say, it's going to be tough to put that genie back in the bottle.
I would have to say you are correct, sir. We have a bonus caller, and I'm going to go to, I believe it is Carmine. Hey, Carmine, how you doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Great, actually.
Yeah, I would imagine you're doing great. Why are you doing so great?
Because I texted in, and I won $500.
How about that?
Yeah!
Winner after winner after winner. Carmine, where are you from, sir?
I'm originally from Pennsylvania, but now I live in Wilmington, Delaware.
All right, my man. That's all good. And how you doing these days? What's going on in your life?
I'm working. I'm an essential worker. I'm an auto mechanic.
All right. Excellent.
We definitely need to keep our vehicles moving. Well, listen, extra $500 in your pocket for doing what you do, listening to MMR. We appreciate that, Carmine. All right, buddy?
I appreciate it. Can I give a shout-out to where I work?
Fire away.
Car Automotive, Norristown, Pennsylvania.
All right. You got it. Thank you guys for listening, Carmine. Rock on,
thanks,
buddy, okay?
Preston. You're the best. Thank
right.
you.
Thanks, bud. All right, awesome. There we go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Another chance to win coming up in less than an hour and a half. So it's that easy. You heard Carmine. He texted in. He won $500. Pretty damn awesome.
So, yeah, it's a nationwide contest, right?
Yep.
Yeah right?
Yep.
Just curious about
we
that.
We get lots of winners. Hey, I want to thank our guests for being on the show. Dennis Quaid was on.
Yay!
Thank you very much, Dennis Quaid. Super nice guy.
And it was a good interview. Probably our best interview with him.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a podcast called The Denissance, which is now up for your listening pleasure. And thanks to Bill Engvall, who was on the show, too. It was very, very cool to have him on. It was a lot of fun. All right, I was hoping Pierre would be in here because I wanted to bring this up.
Here he is.
It's sad news, but a legend in the world of radio and someone who worked here at MMR, Gene Shea, passed away. Uh-huh. I don't know if you had heard that news.
I had heard it, yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie texted me about 3 in the morning and told me. But
it was due to coronavirus.
It was.
Yeah.
He had had it. He had been in the hospital for some time. He had been on a ventilator. He was doing better. They took him off the ventilator, and then he had a stroke.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
He was 85. 85. Oh, my God.
Gene Shea, you just can't say enough about him, aside from his time with MMR, which, relatively speaking, in his career was a smaller portion of his career, although he started, I think he started here. It was one of his first stations. But he was instrumental in the folk scene, the Philadelphia Folk Festival.
Was he, yeah.
He was synonymous with the folk festival and the folk shows that he had. Starting here, we have I don't know where it is. We don't have our artwork up at the moment. We have a great photo of him and Ed Shockey and Joni Mitchell and someone else looking at some music. Going through some records. It's an amazing photograph.
Going through his history, yeah, he co-founded that festival in 1962.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every radio station he worked at after here, he carried the folk show on. I don't know how many stations there were. WHYY, I think, was one of the – I don't know if it was on that or not, or XPN, I don't know.
WHAT.
That was maybe his last one, but he did a number of of stations, but every Sunday night would be the folk show. But he was instrumental in the careers of people like Joni Mitchell and Tom Rush and those, you know, Joan Baez and those,
yeah,
and John Prine and people like that who we also just lost from coronavirus. And so his impact on radio and on the folk scene cannot be underestimated.
Yeah, he had, and also at XPN and nationally syndicated the World Cafe, he gave that show that name.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I was just reading up on his information.
You guys had him in here for our 50th anniversary, and he also created a lot of our vintage station IDs in our vintage file, and some of the coolest ones. In fact, maybe can you go to the vintage ID and just pull one up?
Yeah, which one?
I think it's alcoholic, I think it's
okay,
called.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, he just would, you know, do these very creative things. If that's labeled, if I have
it, was near the top case. It was the second one down. Sorry.
And all it basically is he took a glass of ice and a soda and started a tape and put it near the microphone, you know, and it's perfect on a hot summer day.
Here we go.
We're WMMR. Philadelphia. The radio station.
Oh, that's great.
Some of the simplest things like that. Mm-hmm. We have one in there. I have if I can find it, I'll try to run it today or tomorrow or in the next couple of days and do a real solid tribute to him, because I did an extended interview with him some years ago where he explains almost all those IDs.
And by the way, those IDs like that back in that day were so outside of the box.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody was else had like a do-do-do-do-do jingles and really poppy banging.
Hey, everybody, it's what the
production. Yeah, exactly. But they would have all these little, these real high energy production elements.
Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the map.
And, you know, the album oriented rock station I grew up listening to, KC95 in St. Louis, had stuff like that. And they probably got ideas from people like Gene and listening to MMR. And I was, it was so cool because it was different than everybody else.
Well, the whole FM, this style of radio was born as a reaction against Top 40 radio.
Yeah.
So the faster talking, jingle oriented, you know, very tight boom, boom, boom kind of clips that was part of Top 40 and is an art in and of itself. And I give it up to anyone that can do it because I can barely complete a sentence. But the way they would speak so fast and the tight jingles. So this whole style of radio was, let's just slow down. But I mean, it was also, the good part of it was the it was speaking to someone, not kind of just like not yelling at, but that presentation of that Top 40 is just so throw the pie against the wall, as opposed to let's slow down and speak to our listeners, you know, and play album oriented rock, or, you know, not just the single, but we could go, what about that fourth song on side two?
Right.
That kind of thing. That's and Gene was the epitome of that kind of a radio announcer, and those kind of station IDs were so creative and so stony and so fun. There's one where his daughter, he brings her in. I can't remember how it's labeled, but I'll find it and play it. And he says, I want you to do a station ID. And she's about 8 or 9 years old. And she starts to do it, and he tickles her, and she starts laughing.
Oh.
And it's the cutest thing.
Oh, girl laughing? Okay. Yeah, do you mind if we play that? All right, hang on a second here. Load it up. Here we go.
This is WMMR in Philadelphia, the radio station.
Oh.
And that was his daughter, who now is maybe a grandmother herself.
Right.
I mean, that was done a long time ago when that girl was a little girl, you know, when MMR was just starting, 69, 70, 71. Anyway, his legend is the stuff of legend. And here's to Gene Shea. And I will try to create a proper tribute to him in either today or in the next days ahead.
Awesome. Well, we do need to take care of our business. And that letter is the first thing. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter
O, as in
orange.
That's not even a word.
Go with it.
Orange. Orange. Thank you. Orange.
All right. And we have a $300 Dunkin' E gift card. You can send a hero that you know a little thanks for the Dunkin' E gift card by visiting DunkinCoffeeBreak.com. For every gift card that is purchased, Dunkin' is going to donate a dollar up to $100,000 to the Dunkin' Joy in Childhood Foundation emergency funds. That's going to go straight to nonprofits helping families affected by coronavirus. You can visit DunkinCoffeeBreak.com and send your hero a Dunkin' E gift card today. What's happening on your program?
Well, we will, speaking of artists who passed, Joey Ramone passed today in 2001. We'll do a block of the Ramones. We'll do a block of Incubus and a block of Steely Dan and much more.
Excellent.
Oh, and the $500 rock refund opportunities.
Yep.
You guys have done very well, by the way.
Been a lot. Yeah.
Very well. Good for you.
Five in the last 3 days.
Good for you.
A bunch.
I've done pretty well. Not quite as well as you, but noon and two more opportunities, 4 and 6 with Jackson, 8 p.m. tonight with Bam Bam.
All right, let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme. Order your groceries online and have them ready for pickup at a time that is convenient for you. Each item carefully selected and brought to your car. Order online at shop.acmemarkets.com. Also brought to you by Dunkin'. Official coffee of the President Steve Show. And by Gwinnett Mercy University. Gwinnett Mercy University graduates make the world a better place by putting the mercy in G. Mercy U. Tomorrow, wow, okay. Scott Hamilton, first of all, joining us, the very famous ice skater.
Wow.
And how about this? They're on together?
Yeah.
Donnie Most and Anson Williams tomorrow.
How about that?
Potsy and Ralph.
You can tell Donnie about how you just saw him on Love Boat.
Just saw him on Love Boat, two-part episode, trying to get Julie McCoy to marry him.
That's crazy. Donnie Most and Anson Williams on the show tomorrow. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be cool.
All right, that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. What do you need, Pierre?
Never mind. I'll tell you.
You sure?
Yeah, well, the nice folks at Maniunk iPhone Repair fixed my iPhone.
All right. I'll see if they can fix your car.
Matt and Rob, and I will give them a proper plug later.
Excellent. They're great guys.
Thank you, Steve. All right.
See you, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hey, I want to enter this jazz singing contest there. I want to be part of it. Let's go, baby.
Next message.
I would donate $1,000 for a 5-minute coffee meeting with Casey. I have a man crush on him because he has an infectious laugh, beautiful singing voice, and a razor sharp wit. That is all.
Next message.
Golf with Peyton Manning? Yo, that. I'd rather send picks with Brett Favre. That sounds a little more fun.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.